about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective.
Bring the action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin DeBean Show, and it's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You can't go to any more Kings games.
No, you're not allowed to go out at all anymore.
You're not allowed.
It's not that I went to the Kings game. It's that I came, got home about midnight.
You got on a party bus afterwards?
Party.
What did you do?
What did you do?
You got a lot of problems, don't you?
What did you do?
What did you do?
What's the game plan, Kevin?
What did you do?
What did you do?
Kevin has a problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol. Problem with alcohol. Kevin has a problem with alcohol. And when he's drunk, he'll let you do him in the...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is magical.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Cows can suck it.
Roll another one.
Do you trust them?
Just like the other one.
Bitches be crazy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Bitch, you're calling me crazy?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
What am I gonna do with you kids?
Roll.
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 Roll
another one.
What's with the zombies?
Good question.
Just like the other one.
CBS cares.
This one seems to be about.
What's that all about?
I don't have another cent.
February. February. February.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Just pass it around.
The plane, the plane.
Well, don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, just pass it.
And now...
Look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did!
Our feature presentation.
Wow, what was that from? That's from Ted, the most quotable movie of 2012.
Ted. Oh, I love Ted so much. So much. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning.
When your job is as secure as Beer Mugs is, you can just come in whenever you want, right?
I like your theory that the second somebody's a couple of minutes late... Maybe they're dead.
Yeah. Oh, no.
In this case, fingers crossed, right?
I was hoping that was the case, but I did not have I was not given enough time to dream because I found out that Beer Mug had overslept because he was already on the phone with Chip when I heard about it.
So my alarm didn't go off.
I knew that he was alive.
My alarm didn't go off.
Oh, I can't believe it. I said it. It's outrageous.
It's not my fault, you guys. It's the alarm. There's something wrong with it. So apparently we're beer mug free for at least a few minutes, so let's all enjoy it, shall we?
All right.
Let's all make this the best part of the whole week. Yeah, seriously. All right, here's a story I think you guys would like to get us started here on a Friday morning. We've had a couple of good masturbation stories recently. We had last month, we had that guy who was, remember the story we did about a guy who was masturbating on the roof of a home and then he leapt down and punched the homeowner in the face? And then pooped on the floor and drank the water out of the vacuum cleaner. Remember that whole guy? That guy was awesome. I think he might have been in Florida. Then we had the guy in Seattle, Washington, in November, who was masturbating in an alley behind a store when cops found him, told him to stop, and he said he couldn't because he was almost finished.
Just give me a second.
Seriously.
He's task-oriented.
And he is. And by the way, what kind of unbelievable masturbation concentration do you have if you're able to finish when you've got the cops on you, right? And now we go to Penn Township, Pennsylvania. A man is caught this time behind another convenience store. His name is Scott E. Smith. And you have to love it when your full name is in the paper after you've been arrested for public masturbation.
Yeah, that's great.
He's doing it behind the Unimart there in Pennsylvania. And the police come around the corner. Someone had tipped them off. And he real quick grabs his phone out of his pocket and starts dialing. And the police are like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just back here. I needed someplace quiet to call my girlfriend. Making a phone call. That's all I'm doing. So the police officer says, why is your penis out of your pants, sir?
That, by the way, valid question.
I think so.
That's valid.
What? Let's think of the... This might be a good how does the story end. Think of the excuses, Kevin, on the fly that you might be able to come up with when a police officer is asking you why your penis is out of your pants. Because you've got to try to come up with something that you think is going to fly.
Does the story end?
What could you say that might make it appear that you were not masturbating, in fact?
Must have been scratching stuff.
Public urination?
At least both of those are non-sexual.
Yeah, that's true. That does at least involve the penis, yeah.
I don't know.
Fell out.
Here's what I would say. It's out?
That's what I would say. You perv, why are you looking at me?
Yeah.
You were close, Lee, so that it fell out. He said the only reason his penis was out is because his pants had shrunk.
Pants had shrunk.
His pants had shrunk. Now, I don't know if he was suggesting that he had gained weight or if there had been some sort of an accident in the washing machine, like they got too much heat and they shrunk or something like that. The reason his penis was out is because his pants had shrunk. I wasn't doing that on – what? You think I was doing that on purpose? I had no idea. Got too small.
He would have an idea. If the pants got too small, he would know that.
Yes, he knew the pants got too small. Yeah. He was trying to make it sound like he didn't know his penis had come out because of it. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
I'm not saying it holds up to deep scrutiny.
No,
I'm saying that's what he came up with, is his pants had shrunk. That's why his penis was out. It's not his fault.
Well, the guy's got a point. I mean, maybe it didn't fit.
While being interviewed by the police, by the way, he also said, all right, I was depressed, and I also flashed that woman last month.
What?
You were looking for me. So
what?
He confessed to flashing somebody the month before, so now he's
being
charged.
But only because my pants were too tight.
Maybe because, yeah. He's being charged with 3 counts of indecent exposure and is scheduled for a hearing on March the 1st. So way to go, Scott E. Smith from Penn Township, Pennsylvania.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Stealing the headlines away from Florida and Washington.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Mijo, shall we?
What do you think, that I want to do this? Believe me, pass.
Mr. Skin will be here talking about the Anatomy Awards.
He's the best. I'll tell you one thing I learned from Mr. Skin in the Anatomy Awards is I need to rent a little movie called About Cherry. How did I miss this one in theaters?
About Cherry?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know about that one.
Did you see it, Lisa?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, then you don't love boobs as much as I do. I'm surprised I didn't see it, too.
Of course she doesn't love boobs as much as you do. brand new citizen of the day, we have Lori Holden. Come on now. She plays Andrea on The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yes. She's awesome.
She's going to be in the studio. Can't wait. She's been at the center of that show since it started.
Mm-hmm.
I love how people come up to her all the time and say, why are you with the governor? He's such a bad man. And she's like, I don't watch The Walking Dead. I don't know that. Talking about her character. On the show, the character doesn't see all the stuff that we
see.
So she doesn't realize what the governor's like most of the time.
People get upset at her, really?
They do. I think it's funny.
That's awesome. I knew I was poor when. We all have those stories. And some of them are great.
Yes.
I knew I was poor when I couldn't afford an alarm clock and I just counted on the birds chirping to get me out of bed in the morning.
Nuh-uh. My alarm didn't go off. It was outrageous.
Hey, Muggs.
Yo.
Welcome.
Thanks. Sorry. Apologies.
Here's what I like about Muggs. When he screws up, he's always mad at us.
I know. He's very
not sure how that works. And it's Friday, so we have the movie beat that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat.
So, Ralph, how were you so easily able to get here on time today? Did you just – you have some sort of device or something that makes noise to get you out of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
Or?
It's called wait a minute. They just came on the market.
I know they're new.
That's
clocking
it.
Alarm clock.
That's what it was. That's right. I got one of those too. Kevin, how about you?
Yeah. I have two of those actually.
Lisa?
Yep, I do.
Muggs?
Yeah, about that.
I said it. It just didn't go off.
I totally overslept today. I'm sorry, you guys.
Did the alarm go off though? Will you at least admit that?
It was going off, yes.
All right, good.
Very loud.
Okay. All right, because usually
well, I heard it didn't go off.
No, that's his first answer always.
Oh, I see.
His first answer always is denial, no matter what happens.
I see. Okay.
Later, he may reconsider.
All right, 5:54. It is Friday. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on an all-new Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Before we get started, I would like to, if you would indulge me, just a moment of silence for a gentleman in Muskegon, Michigan. Sadly, this week, his entire collection of porn was stolen from his home.
That is an outrage. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
It was largely considered one of the biggest porn collections in the state of Michigan.
Is that good?
Valued at $6,500.
Wow.
That's a lot. $6,500 is a lot of porn.
It's a lot of porn, yeah.
How much does one guy need?
I don't know, but he had three flat-screen TVs also stolen at his home, so he must have been having it running 24-7.
My God.
Police have no suspects at this time. The man is reportedly quite distressed at the loss of his porn collection.
Sure.
I wonder if it was insured.
I hope so, man. That hurts. That hurts when you lose all your porn.
All right, moment of silence.
Yeah. All right, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Police have no suspects at the time, but they're going to start by focusing on hardened criminals.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. One of my favorite showbiz couples have split up. Josh Brolin and Diane Lane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I loved them together. Aww. They apparently have decided to end their marriage, according to representatives for the couple. They quietly split up last December, actually. This is the second marriage for both. Diane was previously married to Christopher Lambert. Remember him from The Highlander?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Josh was once wed to an actress named Alice Adair. So, after 8 years... they're calling it quits. They were a good couple together.
I thought so, too. But didn't he have quite a bit of drinking going on? A couple of arrests?
He just got popped
like
again for public intoxication during, was it Super Bowl Sunday down there?
Yeah,
in New Orleans?
It was recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that can take a toll on a relationship.
Shut up! You don't know anything about drinkers. No, we're great. Drinkers are the best.
Right.
It's, yeah. It's a lot of fun for the spouse.
Yeah, it is. Shut up! What do you know?
I don't even know what that is.
Speaking of drinking, if Lindsay Lohan calls you, you may not want to pick up. Get that caller ID installed.
Why is that?
Well, Kevin, sources are saying that she is so desperate for money and jobs these days, she's taken to drunk dialing old show business friends.
Oh, man.
In the hopes of getting some help. So far, according again to sources, she has called Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, Nicole Richie, and Wilmer Valderrama.
Wow.
In hopes of getting some help. She leaves along drunken, rambling messages, and now people are avoiding her phone calls.
Did you see, I think you talked about the story yesterday, Ralph. Did you see what she did to that dress that she had borrowed?
I didn't talk about it yesterday.
No,
but,
you didn't. What
certainly
happened?
Can now. She borrowed a $1,700 designer dress. It was a Thea gown. That's the name of the designer. It was for a charity gala event in New York City back on February the 6th. Now, initially, the designer, Thea, did not want to lend the dress to Lindsay, but they got an impassioned call from her friend Charlie Sheen. Probably he went to bat for her.
He's still going to bat for her?
Yes.
Who's using him as a reference anyway?
Well,
because she never thanked for the money?
Charlie's really on a roll lately. He's been doing a lot of good deeds. And so he called celebrity stylist Philip Block, who got the dress on loan for Lindsay to attend this charity function. So she goes to the charity ball. And then, because she's Lindsay, she decides, oh, it's nightclub time. So she goes from the charity ball to the nightclubs. And while she's partying, she tears the dress. Now, you'd think, what would the next best thing be to? Get a safety pin, fix the tear?
Yeah, of course.
Needle and thread in the ladies' room, maybe?
Something.
Maybe skip the nightclub, maybe go home because you've torn the dress that's $1,700 that's not yours. No, apparently she borrowed a pair of scissors from the nightclub.
I like where this is going.
And cut off the entire bottom half of the borrowed gown. Us Weekly reports the dress now looks like a shredded mullet dress. When she returned the dress to the designer,
she
didn't even bother to include the bottom part that she had cut away.
Wow.
So now the fashion house is furious with Lindsay and deciding whether to sue or
this
not.
Was this is a big time fashion place too that made like Halle Berry's Oscar dress and stuff like that. I mean, she burns those bridges. Nobody's going to give her anything to wear.
No, which really may be best for her.
Yeah, I think so.
I've never seen or heard anybody that has
less common sense about how to handle their life. Yeah. She's in a spiral. She needs money. She needs friends. She gets a dress and just destroys it. Doesn't even think about it.
She has complete job offer.
She has complete disregard for other people's property and things.
But at some point, even for her own good, you'd think she'd start caring about other people's problems.
Yeah, well, you think Beer Mug would get here on time for his job, too, for his own good. You think he would do that, right?
You would.
You just can't fix some broken people, Kevin.
I
got to
say,
saying.
The first 30 minutes of this show, though, today was just spotless.
It's pretty smooth.
Really good. Yeah. No mistakes.
Maybe time to call to the bullpen, see if Chip is warming up. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kyle MacLachlan. Most of us were introduced to him. The movie Dune, I guess, would do it for us. But then Twin Peaks, of course. Blue Velvet.
Yes.
Right, Blue Velvet, maybe that's where we first saw him. He was brilliant.
One of the best,
that.
Sure.
And the ladies know him from Sex and the City, 54 years old today. Great, great actor. And I'm sure he's very sorry about that whole Showgirls thing. I don't hold that against him. Comedian Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live, good friend of Tina Fey's. She was on 30 Rock. 47 years old today. Actress Jeri Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
She was 7 of 9 on Star Trek Voyager and Boston Public on a TV series called Shark with James Woods that I liked a lot. She's 45 years old. Drew Barrymore is 38. Singer James Blunt is 39. Thomas Jane, actor from Hung, is 44 years old today. He better be.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because if you're going to star in a series called Hung and you're a single dude, I don't know if he's married or not. Maybe it doesn't matter because he's married. But if you're single, imagine the disappointment in the looks of the women that you date.
When you were on that show.
You were supposed to be. I watched that and you were not.
Where's the rest of it?
I think he was married to Patricia Arquette.
Oh, yeah. Are they still together?
I don't think so.
Oh. Anyway, he's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6. Thank you. I got through it.
It is Friday. Ralph's got the movie beat in moments here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of movies, the Academy Awards are Sunday night. Kevin, what's your level of interest in watching the Oscars this weekend?
I don't know.
Oscars. Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane is the only reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I haven't seen half the movies. It's usually more boring than the Grammys or some of the other ones.
But Barbara Streisand's going to be singing.
Yeah. Hey, my point exactly.
That's the kind of show you're going to get.
You know what? Well, it's definitely a record. And then fast forward,
that too.
The stuff that bores you, yeah.
That's how you were able to see the Grammys in 13 minutes. Yeah. One of the highlights that we were most looking forward to at the Oscars, at least I was, and I know Ralph was too, was this reunion that had been floated of all the men who have played James Bond in the movies. Now, it's the 50th anniversary of the James Bond franchise, and Sean Connery was going to be up on stage, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig, the current James Bond, all of them were going to be on stage. Doing a tribute to James Bond. And that would have been very cool. I mean, that's something that's never happened before. You've never seen those guys together. And I think it would have been a nice nod to a franchise that most of us grew up with and still continue to love today. Now, apparently.
And Adele's going to sing the theme, right?
She's going to sing Skyfall, the current James Bond. Yeah, right. Yeah. Shirley Bassey is going to sing Goldfinger, previous theme. It's not going to happen. We just found out recently. And I'm kind of bummed out about it because, you know, some of these guys are older. They're not going to live forever. And this could have been, you know, the last chance to kind of make that happen. So that's one thing that we're not going to see on the Oscars.
That is weird. That's an odd thing. But we do have Sean Connery if you want to check in with him and find out what's going on.
Sean Connery, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hello, Frank. Hello, Heidi.
I know it's still Kevin and Bean. How are you, Sean? Very disappointing, the news we were just talking about the, I guess we won't be seeing you on our TV this Sunday night.
I'm disappointed, too.
Oh, you were into it?
No, I'm disappointed that I'm talking to you.
Oh, I see.
We're both disappointed for different reasons.
But, Mr. Connery, the Bond franchise is the most successful franchise in history if you look at how many movies they've made and how long the thing has been going. And it would have been a nice tip of the hat 50 years in to kind of acknowledge that, get all you boys out on stage together. What went wrong?
Listen, you I'm not against it. I said I was all for it.
That's fine, but I'm trying to figure out why is it not happening then?
Well, maybe you should talk to the other five who said no.
All right, well, who should we be blaming then? Who's the one who said no on this?
They all said no, except for me. I said, yes, let's do it. In fact, I wanted to make it a steel cage match.
A fight? You wanted to fight?
Six Bonds entered, one Bond leaves.
Wow, I like that.
But apparently Daniel Craig said his schedule didn't allow it because he was too busy taking...
That's not true at all, by the way.
His schedule was full, like his
Look, I know you have always said things like that, but Daniel Craig is very heterosexual, and he's a great Bond, and he's been in the most successful Bond movies ever.
Well, that's only because the production values have gotten so great, that's all.
No, it's not the acting?
If you put anybody in those movies, they'd be hits.
What about me?
Just ask Roger Moore.
Oh, really? He's a weak one?
He was in successful Bond films, too.
Yeah.
He can't act his way through a wet tissue.
Now, I get the impression, because you were the first movie James Bond, that you feel like the series should have ended with you and no one else should have ever put on the tuxedo.
No, I'd be happy if they hired people who could do the job.
Right.
But Roger Moore is so old, he dust.
Okay.
Literally.
You're no spring chicken yourself. You're well into your 80s, aren't you, Mr. Connery?
But I'm still virile and strong.
Oh, that's the big difference. That's true.
I like Pierce Brosnan.
Right. What about
What's
him?
What's wrong with him?
His name sounds Pierce Brosnan. I've had my Brosnan pierced.
He's a fine actor as well, though. Come on.
I do. I have heard he has a Prince Albert, though.
You All right. You just sound like a cranky old man now.
You do. Yeah, you do.
And Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say something bad about him if I could remember who the he is. But I can't.
He was the license to kill Bond. Remember that guy?
He was the license to bore Bond. That's why he didn't make any films.
So, all right. So, will you not even be watching the Academy Awards this year because of this mix-up?
No, I will watch it because they're going to have the Bond songs on there, which I love.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Adele is going to be singing Skyfall, and your old friend Shirley Bassey will be doing Goldfinger, one of your movies.
Yeah, Shirley Bassey, who, by the way, I...
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know what?
This Adele, might be... I'd like to do Adele.
Right.
If I could just roll her in flour and...
Oh, okay. Man.
We're going to say goodbye now, Mr. Connery.
I'm not saying she's fat. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are saying
okay.
That.
Okay. That's very excited. We're going to be talking about a TV show involving the world's greatest tribute bands coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And I'm telling you, if Minnie Kiss is not on this show, Ralph, you're going to have some splaining to do, my friend.
All I care about is Super Diamond.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. A lot of good ones out there. It's a fascinating, fascinating topic. Also, Mr. Skin on the program today and Laurie Holden. She's Andrea on The Walking Dead, don't you know? It's Friday. Time now for the Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Once again, it's time for me to give you in-depth reviews of films that I have not seen and probably won't.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you. Starting with the film in limited release this weekend called Inescapable. Looks like a fascinating drama. Story of a man who leaves Damascus under suspicious circumstances, and then he's got to confront the drama he left behind when his daughter goes missing. Is it related to what happened in Damascus? I'm guessing probably yes, or else it wouldn't be much of a film. It stars Alexander Siddig, very talented actor. Joshua Jackson, woo! One of my favorites from Fringe. Marissa Tomei, also in the film. Oded Fehr. Looks like a great cast and interesting concept. Here are some clips from the trailer of Inescapable.
What can I help you with today?
My daughter's gone missing here. You should have informed us of this sooner. Frankly, I didn't think you'd be able to do very much.
Then why are you here?
In case something happens to me.
She did not understand the danger she was in.
You told her about me?
You were accused of being a spy.
Her daughter is a spy. You're a spy. Find my daughter.
A lot of good drumming there.
Ah!
Your daughter's a spy. You are a spy. Everyone is a spy. That guy over there, he's a spy. I am a spy. My mother, she's a spy. Guy's suspicious, that guy.
Also opening up this weekend, Dark Skies. Looks creepy. Kerry Russell returns to the big screen. Josh Hamilton also stars in this film. J.K. Simmons, one of my favorite character actors. The story of the Barrett family living a normal, peaceful, suburban life. It always starts like that, isn't it?
Sure.
They just have
yeah,
the idyllic
totally.
Relationship in the suburbs. And the next thing you know, the S starts to go down. An escalating series of disturbing events teaches the Barrett family that a terrifying, a deadly force is after them. In fact, it's living there inside their home. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Yes.
When the bird starts slamming into the window.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
come
creepy.
On.
Love it.
And then on top of it, because it's a family, they got creepy little kids. They have
yep.
kids. They start to get creepy. One of her kids' eyes go missing. Rolls over in the middle of the night. I don't need that.
I think Ralph
kids.
Would watch this if it were not for the kids.
I hate creepy kids.
Creepy kids really freak you the F out.
You know what else they freak out? Kerry Russell
yeah.
in this scene from Dark Skies.
Can't hear you. What do you want?
Sam.
I promise I won't tell them anything.
See? It's creepy.
Love it.
Kids are creepy. And then the big movie for the weekend, the big action adventure film that's hoping to draw people into the cineplexes, the return of Dwayne The Rock Johnson to the big screen. He plays a father who has to go undercover for the DEA in order to free his son who was imprisoned after being set up in a drug deal. He's not a drug dealer. I'm not a drug dealer, Dad. How many times have we told that to our fathers, huh?
Many.
Yeah. So, you know what the DEA does. They get civilians to go undercover for them into drug cartels.
That seems like a slight flaw to me.
You think? I think that's too much of a stretch.
When I see this trailer, I go, wait, they wouldn't do that.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars John Bernthal from Walking Dead, also in the film, and Susan Sarandon, which I think is an odd coupling. You don't see her in films like this very often. She plays the DEA agent who pressures The Rock into working for their side. Here's a scene from Snitch where Dwayne Johnson is undercover and thanks another dude for not ratting him out.
Daniel, thank you for not ratting me out.
Believe me, man, I thought about it.
If I don't go through with this, then I can release my son.
What you don't understand, man, you play nice with the feds, man, but what happens when Malik and everyone finds out you're an informant? What happens to me? That puts me right with you. They know I'm a rat. They gotta come after our families, John.
Daniel, I know I'm the one who put us all in this danger. And I gotta live with that. There is no way I'm gonna let either side dictate our fates.
Yeah! Go, Rock!
The Rock is certainly whispering a lot in this movie.
It's very intense.
Very quiet.
I wonder if he shoots anything, any guns, or drives big trucks or tractor trailers.
Oh, you think there's some action in it? I don't know.
Or takes his shirt off.
Maybe. looks like a pretty standard action-adventure film, but we haven't seen Rock on screen for a while, so I look forward to that.
He's immensely likable on screen, isn't he?
I agree.
A very likable performer, and this is his milieu, as they say. This is where he really shines in these kind of films. So you can check out Snitch this weekend. Kind of a lackluster weekend. Oscar weekend usually is because they figure people who love movies are probably going to be home watching the Oscars. But there's some choices for you this weekend. I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
That is a great new band called Capital Cities here on the world-famous K-Rock. The song is called Safe and Sound. They're going to be appearing live in the building at the Red Bull Sound Space coming up on February the 28th, which is...
next week.
Next Thursday.
Next Friday. Next Thursday.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Go to krock.com. It is Thursday. Go Thursday. To krock.com.
Friday. Yeah. Friday. Saturday.
Sunday. If you'd like to be in the audience to see Capital Cities up close and personal, you can just go to krock.com. All right. Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I am very excited about this show. I must be honest. This Access channel, formerly HDNet, the one that's owned by Mark Cuban, Kevin,
right,
is putting out a lot of good shows for music fans. They seem to really be this seems to be one of the areas that they're concentrating on. And this is a fascinating show coming out a week from Monday, March 4th. Please don't argue on that name. It is called The World's Greatest Tribute Bands. And we wanted to find out more about the show because I think this is a fascinating topic. And we have the host of the program, Katie Darrell. She joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
It's wonderful to talk to you. I've fallen deeply in love with you after seeing all of your tweets yesterday. You couldn't wear any less in most of those photos, Katie. Well done.
It's sad that I do understand that sex sells, and I think that that's how I tricked my way onto your guys' show.
No, don't think. No, that's exactly how it worked. Now, okay. You are hosting this World's Greatest Tribute Bands show. Is this a competition to determine who the best is, or what's the goal here, my dear?
No, that's what's awesome about this, is that I, along with Mark Cuban, we are the deciders. So there's not a competition. There aren't judges. We sit around, we put our heads together, and we listen and scout for the world's greatest tribute band. And what's really confusing to people is people think that tribute bands are cover bands.
Right.
There's a huge difference. I found this out the hard way. I used the C word, cover band, once.
Right.
And I swear, I got the worst death stares. I got cussed at. There's a big difference. Cover bands play a variety of different artists.
They'll play everybody's hits.
Exactly. A tribute band dresses up and performs their entire set as the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or the, you know, even the Foo Fighters have one. They're called the Foo Fighters, which is pretty rad.
Sweet.
So, this new series on Access TV, each week, is going to be broadcast live from the Roxy Theater, And so you can watch it either at home on Access TV Live, or you could come in person and get free tickets to come see the show. It's an hour long, and it's a tribute band, and it's pretty rad-tastic.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, tell me about these guys and girls, I guess, who decide to be in these bands. They're obviously very talented musicians. Is this something that they choose to do because, hey, it's a way that they can make a living in the music industry, playing music?
You know, I think there's a variety of factors that go into it. I mean, absolutely, that's one of them. I mean, it's a way to survive in the music industry. We know how cutthroat that can be. Then there's also just the dedication to those bands that they actually are doing the tribute to. I mean, there are people out there that... You know, at a certain point in life, you look in the mirror and you go, huh, I kind of look like Mick Jagger. Maybe I should make some money off of this.
Wow,
right?
that's a bummer when you notice that.
I look like him, but not get laid like him.
Right.
Katie, have you already seen some of these groups that you're going to be featuring on the show?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, literally, they will blow your mind. There are times when I was watching, for instance, there's this U2 band, Hollywood U2, and I was like, holy Bono, are you kidding me? Or the Beatles, these guys come out in full costume, and they're not old and haggard. These are young Beatles. So you're kind of like, wait a minute, I don't understand. These guys are so fresh and young and clean cut, but they should be old.
Have you seen Super Diamond?
I have seen Super Diamond.
And tell me, a mini kiss is going to be a part of the show, or I'm not watching.
Well, right now, the first 12 bands are set, but it's going to be an ongoing series.
Mini kiss! So
a bunch of other bands.
They dress up like Kiss and they're midgets.
I love mini kiss. And I love, there's this one that I'm looking at. It's called Led Zeppelin.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Led Zeppelin. They actually make records too. I actually have some of their records. It's an all-girl band that plays Led Zeppelin, and they're really good.
It's hot. Come on.
Now, what makes a cover band? Because I'll give you a perfect example. Journey is the same band, but the singer's no longer there. So they have this Filipino dude that sounds just like him.
You're talking about the real Journey.
The real Journey. But is that considered the real Journey, or is that considered a cover band?
I love the way you're thinking. Food for thought. But no, that is real Journey.
That's a real band. Okay.
But we will have a tribute to Journey, and they're called DSB. Stands for Don't Stop Believin'.
Sure.
Yeah, and they're going to be on April 22nd. So, but that's one of the things about these tribute bands is, you know, so many of the old school rock and roll bands don't have the original members, like you're saying. So they're almost tribute bands, you know, in and of themselves. So
right.
Why would you go and pay $150, be jammed in, you know, a theater, be far away to watch Journey, who really isn't the original Journey, when you could come see a tribute band, you know, and pay sometimes only $15-$20, or in my case here with our show on Access TV, absolutely nothing, and just see it free and be like, yeah, that guy rocked.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, here's a question for you. And this is the voice of Katie Darrell here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the world's greatest tribute bands on Access TV, which starts a week from Monday. That's March 4th. And at the end of this conversation, we'll give out the information if you want to be there in person. Do some of these people in the tribute bands also develop huge followings and even groupies as they tour the country doing their act?
Absolutely. Oh, my God, that's a great question. Yes, these people do have fans that are up there screaming, hands reached out as if they really are seeing, you know, Jim Morrison of the Doors or, you know, Elton John. These fans are fanatic. But it's not, like, creepy. Like, I don't want to use the word fanatic and make people think that they're going to, like, a Star Wars convention. That's not what's happening. People go because they love the music, and these, you know, artists up on stage are just doing such a great performance that the fans kind of do get caught up, and they, you know, look up and they're like, oh, my God, that's Eddie Van Halen. That's awesome.
Right, but when then they realize it's not, and they're banging their heads and stuff and throwing their hands in the air like they just don't care, that's a little pathetic.
It's not pathetic.
It's a little pathetic,
it's
Katie.
It's as if they shop with coupons. Think of it that way, okay? They're getting a cheaper experience, but just as good musically and visually.
I got you.
I think it sounds like an awesome show, and I don't think there's been very much on TV that I've seen about tribute bands, and I think it's fascinating. And you interview all these people, too, and find out what their story is, too, right?
You know, we talked to them a little bit beforehand, but no, when you tune in to Access TV, it's just going to be pure music. I mean, you'll see me because I have to say hi, hello, welcome, and maybe toss to a commercial break and, you know, have an excuse to wear a miniskirt.
Sure, sure.
But, other than that, it truly is just a pure concert. So, you know, if you weren't expecting to turn this on, but you were flipping through the channels, you would turn it on, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a chance that you would, for a moment, think, is that Metallica?
And I know what this sounds like, because I've been on the other side of it, where you go, hey, you want to go see a Metallica a tribute band? And then you go, no, that sounds lame. But then, well, if you start watching it, and you start listening to the music, you go, hey, this is pretty good. And then you get turned around in about 5 minutes. You watch the whole thing.
Absolutely. And I was actually in the exact same position you were in when this project was put on my plate. You know, I'm producing it and I'm hosting it. So I had to do a lot of research. And at first I was like, wait, I don't understand. What is Mark Cuban making me do?
Right.
And then I started to get into it. And I will say I am a hot, young tribute junkie now. All right,
there you go.
So come to one of the shows and you'll
all
be
right.
A believer.
12 weeks of live performances at the Roxy. How can our listeners go for free if they want to, Katie?
Absolutely free. Just log on to eventbrite.com. That's one of those ticketing websites. It's eventbrite.com. Use any of the keywords that you would imagine. Tribute band, world's greatest, the Roxy Theater, Mark Cuban, Access TV, any of those words, put that in the search engine, and you will be able to print out free tickets to every single one of the shows. It starts March 4th. It's every Monday through June 10th. But you know what? Between you and me, ongoing series. I don't think there's ever going to be an end date because
is that right?
So rad.
That means mini kisses coming, Kevin. Mini kisses on the way. All right, Katie, glad we got a chance to chat with you. Have a great weekend. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Bye, guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Very pleased to have the Oscar actor and directing legend. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
That was a moment with Bean.
We got an Oscar actor?
Apparently so.
To be an actor is one thing, but when you're Oscar as well as acting,
sure.
It's difficult.
It's good time.
A multitask.
Atlas Genius, the song is called Trojans. Coming up, also some Weezer, also AWOL Nation, and Foo Fighters next hour here on K-Rock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Say Wheat Thing Thins.
You
come
said
on, people.
Say Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins. Hey, Saturday night, Hollywood Babylon returns to the John Lovitz Theater, 8 o'clock. Me and Kevin Smith doing what we do. We make fun of people with better careers, more money, and better looks than we have. It is a good time. Come out and see us. You can go to CSMOD, SEESMOD.com for more details and to get your tickets. But 8 o'clock Saturday night up at Universal
Friday,
City
Saturday,
Rock.
Sunday, Monday, 7 a.m. till noon.
No, that's incorrect.
That's a lot of podcasting.
No, it is just Saturday night at 8. Up there at Universal City Walk. We'd love to have you come out and join us. There's about 18 people coming from the K-Rock sales staff going to be there this week.
Really?
Yeah, they're all coming out to check us out. So that's be very nice. And I get to mock them from the stage.
I like it.
That'll be fun. Well, it's on. Star Trek fans, very, very active, very vociferous.
Uh-oh.
Very agitated and energetic.
What's going on?
They are determined to get one of Pluto's newly discovered moons named after Spock's home planet of Vulcan.
I'm sorry. That's what I voted for, too, by the way, Ralph.
Hold it. I just have to process stuff for a second. I just need some downtime.
There's a website. Well, Ralph, you've got the story.
Oh, why go to me, though?
But
you sound like we have an expert here in the room.
You've done it.
That's what I voted for.
I did vote for
you're
that,
joking
yeah.
about voting for it, though. I'm not, because They're asking for input from the public, and they've got a group of about 9 or 10 names that they're considering, and they want to see if any of those find favor with the public. You could also write in your own name, but when I saw that Vulcan was one that was being considered, I thought, how awesome that
use
can't use that.
That
language.
What?
We can't use the S word?
No.
What? Why? Because I'm interested in things that are going on in this solar system?
Because you're voting for not only Pluto, but a rock on Pluto or around Pluto.
It's a moon.
Who
it's a
gives
moon
a crap?
Around Pluto.
You voted.
Ralph, you're with me. Vulcan would be awesome to have as a moon, right?
No, it wouldn't.
What? And Ralph's the sci-fi guy.
No, it wouldn't. Because, first of all, Vulcan deserves better. If you want to name a planet Vulcan, they should wait until they find a real planet. They shouldn't.
They're not gonna, but that's not going to be in our solar system if they find. They find planets all the time, but they're so far away, they don't do us any good.
It is important that it be in our solar system.
This one's right in our solar system. You don't know, man.
What a douchebag you are.
Because first of all, Pluto isn't even a planet anymore. And so you're not even changing the name of Pluto to Vulcan, which would be sort of cool. But it's a moon around a rock that's not a planet. They're going to call that Vulcan.
How can anybody care about this?
Vulcan deserves better, is what I'm saying.
I care very deeply.
These are newly discovered moons. They're calling them P4 and P5 for now.
So
they have asked the public to vote for its name. William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, by the way, have both been very active on Twitter trying to get people to vote for it. You can go to PlutoRocks.com if you'd like to cast your own vote, like Bean, and be a hopeless, hopeless loser.
Stop it.
That's what I voted for.
talked about this story yesterday, and I think, Ralph, you were joking that Bean probably did vote for it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Here's a shocker.
Bean's constantly telling us he doesn't have time to do stuff because he's so busy.
That's true.
I'm very busy.
And then he brings up this stuff.
It's
10:05. Can we be done with this meeting, please? I need to go do important things like vote for the Pluto moon.
Somebody that's 2% busy doesn't have time to vote for a rock.
I vote for the important things in the world, all right?
Bean's really busy.
Thank you.
Michael Bay and Megan Fox are working together again. This is so
really
fascinating to me, since she pretty much called him Hitler.
Yes.
Or was that?
She did say working for him in the last Transformers film was like working with Hitler.
And that's why she was replaced, right?
They had a big falling out, but apparently they're working together again. Megan will be returning to star in his upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. So it looks like Megan Fox will be playing the lovely April, as we know, the girlfriend of all the turtles.
Really? Is that how it works?
Well, then
she gets passed around?
They don't do five ways or anything. So she's working again. That's good news. This is fascinating in the world of television. In the history, in the annals of TV broadcasting, throughout all of television broadcasting, the NBC network, formerly, of course, one of the big three. Back in the day, there used to be just ABC, CBS, and NBC. That's all you had. Then there was a glut of new networks, and cable television has changed the landscape. Fox came along even before the advent and the proliferation of cable everywhere.
But we're talking, what, 70s? 1970s? When they were the three big ones?
It goes back 80s? To the 50s.
No, I know, but I'm saying as late as...
Yeah, throughout all of television broadcasting, you know, far back TV goes to the 40s. NBC has never finished lower than fourth, but now it has. It's going to be fifth in all television networks.
Fifth?
What came in fourth?
What's beating it, Lisa?
Yeah.
Glad you asked. Univision.
Oh,
they are losing out to Univision.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now ABC, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and Univision are all getting better numbers than NBC. Univision beat NBC every single night of the sweeps period.
Wow.
In the coveted demo of 18 to 49.
No bueno.
Every time I see a rating story, NBC is always on the bottom of the list. Like Downton Abbey the other night when they had their season finale.
Yeah.
Higher ratings than any show on NBC for the entire previous week.
It's true. It's crazy.
Yeah, NBC. Univision knows what they're doing, though. They it's a supermodel network.
They have a lot of hotties on there.
It's really something.
And less Whitney, NBC. I'm just saying. A little less of that. Demi Lovato has a new boyfriend. Did you hear about this?
No.
Wilmer Valderrama.
Wait, didn't they used to go out, Ralph?
Back in 2010, they dated for a little while, then they split, but apparently they're back together again. Us Weekly magazine has a story about the two of them engaging in a very romantic Valentine's Day dinner last week. They did lots of cuddling, according to people who were in the sushi restaurant alongside of them, ordered almost everything on the menu, stared into each other's eyes the entire time,
while he was thinking about the seven women he's going to date next week.
Wilmer, by the way, is 33 years old. Demi Lovato, 20.
All right.
Wilmer's like a Jerry Buss in training.
What does he do anymore?
I have no idea.
Dates
20-year-olds.
I don't know how he makes a buck. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that 70s show, and then he did the Yo Mama thing. Remember, he was the host of the Yo Mama show.
That Yo Mama was the bottoming out of television. But, Ralph, you know something about royalties from a hit show. I mean, he was on That 70s Show for, 7 or 8 years? You could live comfortably on that money for a while, couldn't you?
I guess.
It's on all over the world.
I guess he makes DVDs. Pretty good residual money.
I would think. He sure has an impressive IMDb list of dating.
Yeah, really.
Unbelievable.
IMPD.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Internet movie and
we got it.
Data.
Yeah. I didn't get it till like 2 seconds before you said it, but I did get it.
Today's celebrity.
You did it, Kevin.
Yeah, you did it, Kevin.
Thank you.
Good for you.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle MacLachlan is 54 years old today. Rachel Dratch from SNL and 30 Rock is 47. Jerry Ryan turns 45. Thomas Jane from Hung turns 44. James Blunt, the singer, is 39. And Drew Barrymore, 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock's World Tour 2013 is destination number 6. This time, the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Mexico City, Mexico. At 9:10 this morning, we'll give you a chance to score the latest Chili Peppers album called I'm With You and put you on the standby boarding list. So that's on the way. Also, we'll talk to Mr. Skin later on and actress Lori Holden. She's Andrea from The Walking Dead. It's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Boy, this whole season seems to be just surrounding her, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just completely about her and who, you know, who she's having sex with and what group she's her alliances with. It's going to be good. Can't wait.
And we have to run your theory by her, Kevin, that in the post-apocalyptic world of The Walking Dead, she might be the hottest woman left on Earth.
I'd say, well, from what we've seen, that's a given.
That, mm-hmm. She might actually be the supermodel of The Walking Dead.
Right,
all right, that's coming up. First, though, I tend to black out when Beer Mug starts telling a story. So oftentimes I'll hear the beginning of a story and then I'm not still alive for the end of it.
Right.
But what was Muggs trying to tell us yesterday about some conundrum he had at the gas pump? He was trying to do something and he couldn't figure out what was happening.
Can you guys tell me how, and I'm going to have to shorten it because we don't have the hours that it took. Right. Can you guys tell me how it works at the gas pump? If I only have $4 in my account, if I use my ATM card in a gas pump, can I fill up my car and it'll...
Credit card.
And then it'll take the credit card and then it'll go and it'll fill up my car. And we were like, what are you talking about?
I still don't understand what he was trying to say.
So then finally Bean or Lisa or somebody said, why don't you just borrow some money from somebody? Yes. For if you need gas, yeah. You have no money... Just ask for it.
How can you only have $4 on a credit card, by the way?
Yeah, I didn't understand. That's what confused me, too.
We were so confused by his telling of this story because I think he was embarrassed.
Is a $4 limit on his credit card? You can only buy gum?
I had $4 left on my account, available credit.
Some people have credit cards where you have to put money
into these are the prepaid Visa kind of deals?
Essentially. His credit isn't that great.
I'm at my limit.
Yeah. He's at his limit.
Oh, I see.
So will it still give him gas or will it cut him off after
$4 worth of gas?
That's what he wanted to know. But for the hour and a half that it took him to tell that story.
Wow. So we got to talking about how much fun it is to be poor. And we've all been poor. Look, we weren't all superstar radio DJs back in the day. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. we've all had those moments where we go, I am seriously broke right now. I got nothing. And sometimes those stories are fun to reflect back on in years past. Like, I remember multiple occasions of being very, very broke. I mean, speaking of a Beer Mug with his credit card, I remember having, like, I don't know, $15 in my checking account and wanting to get that money out at an ATM. But you could only withdraw in $20 increments, right? So I had to borrow $5 to deposit to my account so that I would have $20 in my account so I could take $20 out, for instance. Wow. That's how broke I was one day.
That's broke.
I mean... And Kevin, you were saying yesterday you had some similar problems, right?
It's so weird because not only was I completely broke, but I was with ultra rich people.
Ooh.
They had so much money, and I said, "Hey, I need to stop and get some money." I was in New Orleans for a Super Bowl or something with a bunch of guys who just, you know, they walk around with $100 bills, and I'm like, "Where do you even get $100 bills? ATMs don't give you $100 bills." Apparently they were just that rich that they just got their money delivered in an envelope or something. So I said, I need to stop at an ATM. They're like, what's an ATM? I swear to God.
No.
So I'm like, what's a machine? And you just put in your card. What are you guys talking about? You don't know what an ATM is? They had no idea. So I walked over and I put in my card and I tried to get $100 out and said insufficient funds. And I tried to distract them by having other conversation because they were all watching this strange machine from outer space that gives people money. Yeah. And so then I just thought, well, I'll just go with 60. Nah, insufficient funds. All right, listen, 20. I just get a 20 and I can make it last, for God's sakes. That's fine. I put in 20 insufficient funds.
Oh.
And now they've kind of moved away from the ATM a little bit, which is perfect for me.
Because you've been there for 10 minutes.
I've been there for 10 minutes. And they were like, did it work? You get your money? I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And we just walked away.
You had no money in the bank? Zero.
Well, less than $20, whatever.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's never happened to you?
What were you doing in New Orleans if you had no money?
Ultra-rich people.
You're on somebody else's dime?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but then I needed, of course you need some money, and I was completely out. And by the way, this won't surprise any of you, it was a shock to me that I was out of money.
Oh,
I don't exactly keep good records.
I am most rich man. I drive good, too.
don't think
we are going to take your telephone calls, by the way, if you can finish this sentence for us. I knew I was poor when. I knew I was poor when. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, pre-Family Guy and pre-Ted and pre-podcast, I imagine you had some struggling actor days where you weren't exactly flush with dollars.
Pre-Kevin and Bean, I was in between jobs. I'd been bartending and waiting tables and acting. And I couldn't get a job. I could not get a job. And so the savings dwindled and dwindled, and they were not much to begin with. And I had gone a day without food, an entire day without eating anything. Nothing in my fridge. All the money had gone towards paying rent and my phone bill, and I had nothing left for food. So I was as hungry as I think I've ever been. So I went to the supermarket, and I went early. It was a 24-hour supermarket, around 6 o'clock in the morning. And I got a shopping cart, and I would go by the bakery, and I would get like 3 croissants and put it in one of those plastic bags with a twist on it and put it in the cart. And then I would get like 2 orange juices and put that in the cart. And I would go around and get a couple of everything. And as I was pushing it around, I would duck behind a display, and I would like stuff one of the croissants in my mouth and wash it down with one of those small containers of orange juice and then fold them back up and keep pushing the thing around. So for about a half an hour, I walked around the store eating breakfast. And then I just pushed the cart to the side as if I like, oh, I forgot something.
Just left it all?
Left it all there in the cart and just went off. Yeah,
so you shoplifted, basically.
That's basically what I did.
You were starring in Les Mis at that point.
Yeah. I've had lunch at Costco.
I was going to say, know, they have people the samples. At Costco, for
sure.
Yeah.
I've had full meals there.
Yeah, definitely.
my supermarket story, again, we'll get right to your calls. Joel, you hang on at 1-800-520-1067. My supermarket story that I remember, Ralph, was a similar situation, completely broke, nothing in the fridge. What am I going to do? And I had like $3. And I remember walking around every single aisle in the supermarket going, okay, how can I make this $3 last? Like, what food can I buy that I'm going to get the most meals out of? Not just for this meal, but for tonight and for tomorrow and for the day after that.
It's funny because for $3, you can really not even get a meal.
Almost. Top ramen, right? You can get that.
You can get top ramen.
Top ramen.
And
that's why,
That's why that's so popular in college, right? I think I ended up, if I remember correctly, I ended up buying oatmeal because I think I got like a big tub of oatmeal, which is something that you can make a lot of meals out of. Of course, you can't afford the milk to go in it, so you got to just use water.
Yeah.
But
at least
you can make a lot of oatmeals out of a big package, right?
Yeah, so. I had no money, though. I would have bought something if I could have at the supermarket, but I literally had zero money.
Down. You walked around the supermarket, ate, and then left the cart.
I ate what I could and then just pushed the cart to the side and walked out the door.
A man's got to do what a man's got to do.
You have to. No question.
Let's take Joel real fast, line 1-800-520-1067, then we'll come back with everybody else's calls. Hi, Joel. Thanks for getting in.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good morning.
I was so poor. I knew I was poor when?
Okay, when I knew I was poor when I was going through college. It was my freshman year. Mom and dad pretty much cut me off, said, you know, this is your time to shine. You can grow up.
This is your time to shine.
Good luck shining.
I'm walking through the supermarket trying to find out what I can get with my last $5. And I realized that, you know, Top Ramen's pretty cheap, and you can get quite a bit of Top Ramen for $5. So I got the Top Ramen, but I ended up getting home and having to cut my Top Ramens in half to make it through the week.
Wow, that's so sad.
And to stretch out your Top Ramen.
All right, I can take 3 spoonfuls, but then I'm going to have to put it back in.
I bought a box of Top Ramen Helper.
All right, Joel, thanks for the call. Finish the sentence for us. I knew I was poor when. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
I got a lot of these phone calls. I'll tell you that right now.
I know.
Hey, everybody's got their story of I knew I was poor when, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Two quick notes from Kevin and Bean listeners that get down to pennies here, guys.
All right.
Tony writes in, my wife and I just moved. We had jobs, but we had not started getting paid yet. We discovered we need a 3-cent deposit or our rent check would bounce. We had to go through all of our coats and cars to find the 3 cents to deposit. Elizabeth writes in, you know you're poor when you have to go to the Coinstar machine to cash in your pennies the night before payday just to have dinner. That's the kind of story that we're looking for. Why don't we get started with, who do we decide? We want to start with Doreen. Let's start with Doreen on line 4. I knew I was poor when. Finish the sentence for us, Doreen.
When I went to give blood so I could get free juice and cookies.
Oh, wow. That's so sad. You went to give blood because they give you a cookie and some orange juice afterwards. That's pretty sweet.
And then the sad...
So you got to get a little bit for later.
Sure. That's right. Yeah, help yourself. Fill your pockets. And then the sad thing is you have to wait 2 months till you can go again. I know you start thinking about it like a week later. Oh, man, I sure could use some more orange juice.
Like, well,
associated with the American Red Cross. What's the other blood company I could donate to?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try, wow, these are sad. Let's try Jennifer, line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jennifer, when did you know you were poor?
I knew I was poor when I would have to wait until all the wedding guests and cleared out of the special events place I worked at, and I would go upstairs and just start boxing up all their uneaten food and desserts and take them home.
Take home the leftovers from other people.
Yeah.
Did you ever get caught doing that?
No, actually, believe it or not, management encouraged it. They're like, hey, if you guys want some food, they're upstairs. Go for it.
That's nice.
Wow. That's great.
Thank you for the call. And Lisa, you were saying you were lucky enough in your lean days to have a job at a restaurant, right?
I always worked in restaurants, and so you could eat at the restaurant. They almost always had, you know, you could come in early and have a meal, and you always had cash on you.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I mean, I when I was that poor, I was working at record stores mostly, so you couldn't eat records.
No,
no, but you could steal from the register.
Let's go to Sarah, line 8, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Sarah, welcome to the program. I knew I was poor when.
Hi, yeah, we couldn't afford dog food, so we had to feed our dog Lucky Charms with little pieces of dog treats broken up in it.
Oh, which your dog probably loved.
Lucky Charms is the most worthless, best-tasting cereal there is.
Yeah, I'm
so
sure
sad.
That it didn't have a whole lot of nutrition for her.
Lucky Charms is air.
For a day or two.
your poor dog. Thank you, Sarah. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Paul writes in, I knew I was poor when I had to grab the change in the wishing well 23 years ago.
Oh, no.
Digging around like in a fountain or something. Ryan also writes in on Facebook, I was so poor I was fishing for my dinner off the Long Beach Harbor Pier. The only thing I caught was a stingray, and I had to try to eat it. Nasty, don't eat stingray.
Oh, God.
That's pretty good advice right
there.
Let's
go to Jody, who had a pretty good idea of how to solve her problem. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
What would you do?
I only had one credit card, and it was JCPenney's, so I went in and bought this really fancy pair of shoes so that my husband could then go in acting as though he had received these fancy shoes as a gift and return them for cash.
Oh, that is a good idea.
Oh, they give you cash back? They don't put it back on your card?
Well, if you walk in and say, oh, I got these as a gift,
see.
They don't have a credit card to apply that.
Oh, yes,
very
that makes
smart.
Sense.
Yeah,
very
smart. We've made it pretty well since then. I guess our brains paid off eventually.
I got to tell you, there's people all over Southern California now who are writing that down.
Oh, yeah. My God, I know.
Can't buy the shoes, return them for
Thank
cash.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate the call. Tell me if this works, Kevin. Joaquin writes in, I would deposit an empty envelope at the ATM and then withdraw $100 from the fake deposit because I knew it would take them 2 days to process the envelope. And I could avoid the non-sufficient funds fee. Then I would deposit my paycheck 2 days later and no one would be the wiser. Can you get away with that?
I don't think so.
Probably not anymore.
I don't think so. I don't think it's available immediately.
Yeah.
But I don't
All right. Let's do one more. How about Anna on line one to get us closed out here? Anna, I knew I was poor when?
Hello. This isn't in the past. This is actually current.
Right now. Good. All right.
My roommate and I are moving into a place we can't afford. And when we go out at night, we will bring bigger bags, bigger purses with us, and take toilet paper from the restaurant.
You steal restaurant toilet paper.
We have to cut corners somewhere. It's more of a joke, but...
Which, by the way, restaurant toilet paper is the worst toilet paper there is.
Yeah, sure. it's half ply is what it is.
Restaurants are great. Bathroom. You can get your Sweet and Low, your Equal, your Sugar at restaurants.
This is Lisa.
You can stock up.
Yes.
Unlimited breadsticks if you go to the right
True.
Place. Hey, and of course, toilet paper.
Hey, Anna, just a tip. Don't tell anyone else this story.
I won't.
Okay.
A lot of categories for Mr. Skin's 14th Annual Anatomy Awards coming up just after the top of the hour. We'll talk to him everything about best breast, best butt, best lesbian scene, best forced to strip scene. A lot of good categories we'll talk to Mr. Skin about. That's coming up.
I don't want the forced
sound
to strip.
Good.
First, though, the Academy Awards are Sunday night. Our old friend Pat O'Brien joins us in studio from sports radio. But before
Kevin
that,
Bean, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Pat. I know you had a lot of years on Access Hollywood and on The Insider.
Absolutely, The Insider. Sure. That was
show,
I decided to leave that show.
Right.
I thought
you were
believe,
fired.
Don't believe the hype.
They said something about you being
made
fired.
My own choice to leave The Insider. Glad,
okay.
Glad I did
after
it.
After you were fired?
Glad I did it.
A lot of people leave after they're fired, by the way, Pat. That's fairly common. But the reason we wanted to have you on today is because the Oscars are this weekend, and I know that you are a big fan of the movies.
Hollywood's biggest night. The
That's
Oscars.
Correct, yes.
Right.
And you covered films
a
for a long
films
time.
This year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just wondering if we could talk to you about maybe some of your picks, because there are some categories that are considered, you know, maybe even too close to call this year.
Well, Kevin and Bean, you know, I'm always happy to help you guys out.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Now that you need it. Doing a great show.
But I think... Thank you, Pat.
I think I do have some insider information. No okay. pun intended.
Right.
All right. Sounded like you intended. But...
I can shed some light on Hollywood's biggest night.
All right.
All right. Let me ask you, for instance, about the best actress. That's one that a lot of people are going. They don't know which way that one's going to go. Jessica Chastain maybe might be the favorite. Who do you think?
Zero,
who do you like
Dark
in that category?
30, course, yeah, right.
Did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember Jessica when she first started in the business.
Right.
I think I was the first person to interview her when she was doing the press junket for The Help.
But that's not relevant. We're talking
I was partying the night before with Richie Zambora.
Uh-huh.
Friend of mine.
Right.
Because I'm a musician. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I used to play keyboard in a band.
You have mentioned that. You have mentioned that many times.
And Richie, great musician.
Right.
Good friend.
Jessica Chastain.
And so we were hanging out together. I said, have you seen that Help show?
Right.
And he thought I was talking about the Beatles. And I said, no, Richie.
Yeah. Okay,
it's a different film called The Help.
Tangent here.
We're asking about Zero Dark Thirty.
Beautiful redhead in it.
Right. Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain.
Who we're asking about. Yeah.
And now everybody's talking about her.
Or
I remember
Jennifer Lawrence.
I was the only guy talking about her.
Okay, I don't think that's true, but
not
or Jennifer Lawrence. A lot of people say it could go either way. Which one? What do you pick? Do you have a theory? Or
Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games.
Right.
I remember when she was just starting out in the business. I remember talking to Muhammad Ali about her. I said, hey,
what?
Champ.
Why were you talking to Muhammad Ali about her?
Why are you dropping so many names?
Of course, well, I do a lot of work for charity.
Oh, I see.
And Muhammad Ali was there. And I said, hey, Champ, have you seen this Hunger Games?
Right.
And he just mumbled something.
Right.
Couldn't make it out. Sad
all
story.
All of your stories are about you, though, and the people that you know, instead of really about what the topic is that we're discussing. That's what I've noticed.
Boxing's a violent sport. You know, I've covered a lot of sports in my career.
Right.
Of course, started out in mainstream news, then went on to sports broadcasting for many years. CBS Sports.
Right.
But we had a lot of basketball.
But we were talking about entertainment.
How about Jerry Buss? Huh? He was a good friend of mine.
I doubt that, but let's
you
go back to the
Dr. Buss
Oscars.
Invited me into the Laker family many years ago.
Is that right?
About 1980, okay, when I first joined the family.
So no thoughts on actress in a leading role?
Never left, really.
All right, let's move on to another category, best director. A lot of people think it's Steven Spielberg's to lose.
Steven
but there's,
Spielberg.
Yes. There's great people in the category, including
there
Ang Lee.
Is there a bigger name in Hollywood than Steven Spielberg?
So you think, no, he's
You
he's
think
the
he'll,
best.
He'll win for that particular one?
I was having lunch with Steven not too long ago, just before he decided to tackle Lincoln.
Yeah.
He said, who do you think for Lincoln?
He asked you who
I said,
you
I
thought
think
he
of
should
only,
cast.
Only one name. Or should I say only three names? Daniel, Day, and you know the rest.
Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis.
So you suggested Daniel Day-Lewis play Lincoln to
Absolutely.
Steven Spielberg. It was your idea.
At the time, he was thinking about Louis Anderson.
Okay.
Also a good friend of mine. We hang out in Vegas from time to time.
We're not asking
about Vegas is a different town when you're sober. Trust me.
Oh, I'm sure.
And if you have problems, folks, get help.
Right.
Okay. Here's what we're doing. We're trying to discuss who might win the best director for the Academy Awards, which are Sunday night.
One day at a time. That's how I take it. Is that what you're asking me?
No, this isn't about you.
Get some help. And,
this actually,
if you work
it's not about you.
It works if you work it.
Sunday night is the Oscars. So you think Spielberg...
Hollywood's biggest night.
Right. You've already said that.
The Oscars.
All right. Let's go to another category. Maybe
all right. How about this? How about this category for you, Pat? And I'm sure you don't know any of these people because they're lowly writers. The best original screenplay Oscar. Is it going to be Quentin Tarantino for Django Unchained? Is it going to be John Gatens who wrote Flight? How about Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola for Moonrise Kingdom?
I remember hanging out with Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez.
Do you think he's going to win?
We watched Grindhouse together.
Right.
And I said, you guys... are super talented.
Right.
And I think Django Unchained, one of the best movies of the year, in my
opinion.
Okay,
so you think he'll win.
And I told Q that. We were having brunch.
Q? You call him Q?
We're having brunch at the Chateau Marmont.
Right.
I doubt it.
I said, Q, I think your film is one of the best films of the year.
Okay.
A lot of people agree, by the way. And
how is that a story?
I said, the only reason it's not going to win an Oscar, too many N-words. Oscar doesn't like the N-word.
Okay.
Doesn't like black people, really, when you think about it.
Take it easy.
Not a lot of black people winning Oscars.
Well, right, actually, so he's not going to win?
Except maybe Jessica Chastain. She might win.
She's not
black,
but
Pat.
Wait.
I thought you knew her. She's not black.
She's not the black one?
No, she's not the black one.
There's a black Jessica I'm thinking of?
No, there's
Jessica
no black.
Jessica Simpson. She's black, right?
No.
Nope, she's not black.
She's very
either.
White
got
as well.
She's got a booty like a black girl.
She does, that's true.
I all like right. a booty. I like a good booty.
Okay. Last category.
That goes without saying.
Right. We'll end with this.
Who doesn't like a good booty?
How about the best picture? Now, Argo
reminds me
has
of J-Lo.
Had...
When I talk about booties, reminds me of J-Lo.
Right.
I was hanging out with her back. In fact, I introduced her
but we didn't
to
bring
Mark
you...
Anthony. A lot of people don't know that.
We didn't bring you here
together.
To talk about
and
J-Lo. And I don't think that's true either,
gonna,
by the way.
I was going to have to do a reading at their wedding, but unfortunately, I got preoccupied.
All right.
Something came up.
Best picture. We're almost out of time here, Pat O'Brien. Argo has the momentum going into the ceremony this weekend.
Sure does.
But a lot of people are think Lincoln is going to win, or maybe even Zero Dark Thirty. What do you say?
Ben Affleck, speaking of J-Lo, I got those crazy kids together back in the day.
I don't think that's true.
They
either.
Almost got married. And I pulled Ben aside and I said, Ben.
You did that.
Benny.
Yeah.
As I call him sometimes.
Sure.
Is this what you really want? You want to be married in the limelight? You want to be in the fishbowl? Trust me, Benny, because I've been there. And it has a cost.
So you think Argo's going to win?
So I said to him, maybe you should get out of acting. Maybe you should get into directing.
Oh,
so
that
I
was your idea.
He started to direct, and now if you look at the town, and now Argo, he's had wild, wild success.
So you think Argo's going to win the best picture?
But Lincoln, that's a good film.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln, he was an excellent president.
Right.
He used the N-word a lot, too, by the way. A lot of people don't know that.
So you
course, it was
made...
back in fashion then. Can't say that now. Right. Trust me.
you would know.
See the looks I get. At the
sure
Chateau Marmont. Start throwing around that word.
I know. That's true.
Unless I'm talking right. to Jay-Z, my good friend Jay-Z.
Okay. You don't know Jay-Z.
I just use the A at the end instead of the E-R.
Sure. All right. That's
and
fine.
It seems to be a lot more acceptable.
So
why
thank you, Pat.
That? Why is that you can say the N-word not the N-word-er?
I'm not comfortable with this conversation, Pat. We're going to ask you to step out now.
It's
thank
Hollywood
you for stopping
biggest
by.
Night.
Right. It is. Oscars, right?
The Oscars.
Right. Thank you, Pat.
Sunday night.
Got it.
I'll be tweeting live.
Hi, folks. This is Adam West. I want to introduce Radio's own boy wonder, Ralph Garman, and the Show Business Report. Ralph.
Thank you, Adam West.
How about that?
TV's Batman, who loves me. I love him back.
He does love you.
He loves me, and I love him.
Take it easy.
It's the love. The love that only two men can share. Kind of love we have. Love him. No, he's selling his home in Palm Springs.
Is he?
Tempted? Boy, do I want to buy that.
Yeah. I bet you do.
Only if he leaves the linens on the bed. You know what I'm saying? as long as he leaves the towels in the bathroom. I'm just saying, I need a lot of DNA for my collection.
Are you trying to clone Adam West? Is that what's going on here?
The lab says I need more scrapings.
That's not creepy.
So if you could leave behind a toothbrush or a hairbrush, something like that, it would be enormously helpful.
Why is he, not to get bogged down in this, but why is he selling Palm Springs instead of selling Idaho? It seems like he'd rather keep the house in the warm weather.
Idaho is his home. That's his beloved.
He won't give that up.
He's never going to let that place
go. You guys know we're on the air?
I think he may be looking for another property here in Southern California, and I think maybe he's headed with the desert. I don't know.
He can come live with you? You can have him live in the Batman room?
Hell yeah.
Would that be the best?
Hell yeah. I just lock him up in a hermetically sealed plastic case every night. Mint condition in the box, as we say.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Did you try it, Spiny?
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
More than anything. Hey, this Saturday night, 8 o'clock, me and Kevin Smith doing what we do, Hollywood Babylon, up at the John Lovitz Theater at City Walk Universal Studios. Come on up and see us. It is a good time, 8 p.m. on Saturday. If you want to get tickets, you can go to csmod, csmod.com. You can buy your tickets through there or through the John Lovitz website. We'd love to have you come out and
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
So close. Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Saturday. TV news, Christina Ricci's going to have her own series.
No kidding.
That's the good news. Bad news? It's going to be on NBC. fifth place NBC. As I mentioned, NBC for the first time in all of broadcasting history is going to finish lower than fourth. It's going to be in fifth place during the all-important sweeps period. Univision number four out of the big five.
Yeah.
With the sweeps.
That's not surprising, though, is it?
But maybe Christina Ricci's new show will bring NBC back. It's a comedy, which actually strikes me as something interesting and fresh and different.
What is it?
It's called Girlfriend in a Coma.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina Ricci plays a woman who has been in a coma for 17 years. And she wakes up only to find that while she was in the coma, she gave birth.
Okay. Oh, my God.
She was pregnant before she went into the coma. She carried the baby to full term. They delivered the baby. 17 years after the fact, she finally comes out of the coma, and she finds she has a 17-year-old daughter.
Another one of those.
Come on. That's something a little interesting. There's some comic possibilities there.
And also, all of the stuff that has happened that she doesn't know about in the 17 years since she's been gone is right. Could be funny comedy, too.
Miranda Cosgrove of iCarly will play the daughter. Christina, as I mentioned, is the girlfriend in the coma. And Daniel Stern, who you may remember from the Home Alone movies, played the bad guy along with Joe Pesci in those films. He is going to play her dad in that film. So,
Christina Ricci is an excellent actress who makes so many offbeat choices on purpose that you sense that she does not have nearly as big a career as she could if she wanted it.
And a lot of people know she's an excellent comic actress, too. She can be very funny. So I got a lot of hope for this. Michael Jackson's getting the Cirque du Soleil treatment this summer. No, and that's not a euphemism. The troupe announced yesterday that they're going to have a new show called Michael Jackson Won.
One? I would say he didn't win.
No, O-N-E, the number
oh,
one.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to start preview performances on May the 29th at Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can catch it late May. It's when they start previewing, and then opening night will be June the 29th, a month later.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Linda Lohan is in trouble again.
Now what?
She has upset a house of couture, as they say, named Thea. They lent her a $1,700 one-of-a-kind designer dress to wear to a charity gala in New York City back on February the 6th. Apparently, she looked very chic in the borrowed dress. But after she did her bit for charity, she decided it was time to get her party on and took it out to the nightclubs. Oh,
what could go wrong there?
That poor floor-length gown didn't stand a chance. Turns out she went to the nightclub, and the first thing that happened, it ripped. Big tear in it. So Lindsay did the most Lindsay logical thing she could. No, not a safety pin to repair the tear, not a needle and thread patch-up job in the ladies' room. No, she borrowed a pair of scissors from the nightclub and cut off the bottom half of the borrowed gown.
That's probably all right.
It's not all right, it turns out.
Oh.
The designers are furious. They say when the dress was returned, she didn't even bother to return the part that she cut off so they could try to patch it back together.
Hey, at least they got half of it.
That's true.
That's pretty good.
She got half a dress. Needless to say, they're now furious with Lindsay.
Don't you get the feeling that if you set out to annoy and trouble people, you wouldn't be able to cause enough mayhem to keep up with Lindsay Lohan in a regular life?
I think you could have a very successful life if at every turn in a crossroads situation you said to yourself, what would Lindsay Lohan not do? And if you took that path,
then you'd be successful.
You'd be fine at every turn. We should get bracelets made up called with the initials. What would Lindsay not do?
I like it.
And that's how you should guide your life. It's fascinating how she self-destructs. Today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Barrymore is 38 years old today. She's been famous forever.
She has.
Yeah. Since she was, six?
Yeah. James Blunt, 39 years old today.
Would you say, Ralph, that E.T. is still the best movie she's ever been in?
Oh.
She's been in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, I think you might have to. Well, Big Change, the one about the whales under the ice. Big Change, is that what it's called? Big Change?
I don't know what that's called.
I don't know. She's been in a bunch of horrible movies.
Yeah. So E.T. would have to be the best.
So she peaked at six.
Yes. James Blunt is not necessarily that, because I think she has been good in some bad movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think she can turn in a good performance from time to time. I thought she was very entertaining in the Charlie's Angels film.
Yeah.
I thought that was an entertaining
film. Totally, yeah.
James Blunt is 39 years old. Thomas Jane, star of Hung, he is 44 years old today. Jeri Ryan, you know her from Boston Public. She was 7 of 9, Star Trek, 45 years old today. Rachel Dratch is 47. And Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks and Sex and the City and Dune and Blue Velvet.
He's the mayor of Portland in Portlandia?
That's right, yeah. Talented guy, 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If I were to ask you who the two greatest men that ever lived are, a lot of people might say Jesus and maybe Lincoln. I would say you're wrong. I would say Weird Al Yankovic for obvious reasons. And our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin.com.
Mr. Skin is the world's foremost authority on celebrity nudity at MrSkin.com. That's where you fast forward to the good parts and see all the naked stuff from TV and movies throughout the years. Welcome back, Mr. Skin. How are you, my friend?
Doing great, Kevin and Bean. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Always a pleasure. I always look forward every year to this time of year when you unveil your anatomy awards. And I will tell you, the one thing I learned from this year's list is that I need to rent a movie called About Cherry.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's all over the Anatomy Awards this year, and it's about a girl played by Ashley Hinshaw, who, by the way, won our Nudecomer of the Year award. And she plays a girl who is from a broken home and has to head to San Francisco to enter the porn industry. So right there, it sounds like a movie we'd all enjoy.
Was this in the theaters?
Briefly, but it's more of a... It wasn't a major release, but nobody's given it more promotion than me this year.
That's true.
this girl's a former Abercrombie and Fitch model, and she's just spectacularly beautiful, and it's really a fun movie. And Heather Graham's in the movie, and Heather Graham won the best lesbian scene from this movie with Diane Farr, a girl from that played Laura on Rescue Me. And when you have the Nudecomer of the Year and the lesbian scene of the year and all this nudity, it's no surprise it also won Breast Picture, a very prestigious
Absolutely.
Award.
Give me a second. Please rent About Cherry.
Yeah, top of Netflix Q.
All right, good. You know, I'm sure there's a way to track this with the interviews that you've been doing around the country, Mr. Skin. I wouldn't be surprised to see About Cherry at the top of the Netflix queue. I'm sure a lot of people are now hearing about that movie for the first time, thanks to you.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool movie. I mean, James Franco's also in it. I mean, it's a movie with, I mean, Heather Graham. It's not like a Skinamax B movie. I mean, it has real actors and actresses in it. So, and you get the bonus of Ashley Hinshaw, who, by the way, is naked like four or five times. So,
Sold.
We're going to watch it. Stop telling us.
All right. Here's another one that you have mentioned on our show before, but I'm surprised this didn't get more notice because of the star power of the nudes involved. Tell us about Take This Waltz, Mr. Skin.
Oh, my God. Well, this movie came out in the summer in theaters, and I don't expect guys like you to waltz into the theater and see this movie because it's kind of a romance, like an independent kind of thing. But in this movie, Sarah Silverman, with Michelle Williams standing right there, is completely naked in the shower, and it's not just like a brief flash. You know,
I saw this
literally,
movie.
Yeah,
you did.
They have a whole conversation.
It's not an upper, but man, are they naked, and how long are they naked?
Well, that's an upper, by the way.
Guys, this was an upper, right?
Yeah. It's not an upper for you.
That's how long they're in there.
Lisa, was it a good movie?
Yes, you would like it, Bean.
Really? Okay.
Kevin would not, but he could fast forward to the
I certainly would fast forward.
41-minute mark, you'd like it, yeah.
And while we're talking about naked but not an upper, Lisa had a similar review to The Sessions. Now, this was a very critically acclaimed movie, Mr. Skin, with a surprising amount of nudity from a huge star.
Yeah, Helen Hunt, who's nominated for an actress in a supporting role at the Oscars Sunday night, and she's 49 years old. She won our best over 40 nude scene, and... you know, you don't usually get an actress over 40 doing nudity at all, let alone being as naked as much as she was. But I want to say, she looked fantastic, and not only is she getting rave reviews, but she won the best over 40 nude scene, which I know she's pretty proud of. So,
By the way,
speaking of, while we're on the subject, as you guys know, we don't discriminate when it comes to nudity. We also have our best over 80 nude scene this year, which is Emmanuel Riva from the movie Amour. She's up for actress in a leading role.
Might not have that category.
Our website was 84. Jessica Tandy and Camellia was the oldest ever until 85-year-old Emmanuel Riva made her nude debut in this movie. So
now I'm going to say something that is going to gross Kevin out, but Mr. Skin, back me up on this, and this is a very serious question.
Don't tell me the 85-year-old's hot.
For 85 years old,
stop it.
For 85, she's got a pretty good body, right?
I agree. I didn't want to be the one to say it and thank Dean, but
stop it.
Yeah, it's as far as 85-year-olds go.
Right,
yeah.
But that's not a category.
No, she looks pretty good though
for an 85-year-old. Right.
Yeah, and I gotta say, if she wasn't wearing the shower cap, she'd really look hot. So.
Right, there you go. Let me ask about a couple of the other categories this year. We're talking to Mr. Skin, of course, about the 14th Annual Anatomy Awards. MrSkin.com for 99 cents a day. See all the nudity we're talking about and so much more. There's some bizarre categories this year. I have to be careful how I phrase this one, Mr. Skin, because we're on the radio. But best woman with a surprise body part is a category this year. Now, how often do you see that in a movie?
You mean the retro?
No, I'm talking about Chloe Sevigny this year.
The chick with the thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure because we have a lot of things we can't talk about on the radio on this list. It's Chloe Sevigny in a TV series from the UK called Hit and Miss. She plays a tranny assassin, and I don't mean someone that kills trannies. I mean she is a tranny.
She is the tranny, right.
Yeah, and it's she has a prosthetic, and I'll tell you, this girl... She's a great actress, but she's done some roles. It's like, I don't know who her management company is, but she did Brown Bunny, and now she's doing this tranny thing. And I got to love her. She's one of the – on the cutting edge when it comes to sexy and skin and all that stuff.
But did they have to give her a full fro down there? You know what I mean? Like –
Yeah, I know. I don't know what was going on.
Come on with that.
Yeah, it's something you don't often see, and that was that's a new category, by the way. That category.
If it's not real, why not go ahead and just make it groomed nicely?
Do a little manscaping. That's what you're suggesting.
Who knows how these assassins handle those things down there? They're very busy assassinating people. So.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I can't recommend the list enough. Best butt bong scene, best jello wrestling scene, best three-boobed actress. I'm sure we could all guess who that one's going to be.
Yeah.
Celebrity nude debut, by the way, Nadine Velasquez, who we all fell in love with on My Name is Earl, of course, from the Flight movie. She's fantastic in that, right?
Yeah, people have been going nuts over that nude scene, and that was the best celebrity nude debut. People have been asking me about her for years, and not only did she get naked, it was fantastic. So.
And now, before we let you go, Mr. Skin, I just have to ask, because the Academy Awards are this weekend, I think we've all fallen very deeply in love with Jennifer Lawrence over the past few years. She's made fantastic movies. She's a great actress. Any chance of seeing her nude? Is that a thing that's happening?
Well, I got guys I have guys going to film fests. I'm trying to find out everything I can, because men need to know, will Jennifer Lawrence ever do a nude scene? And I have nothing to report yet. But
hasn't she come out and said she's not going to? Isn't she one of those that has said?
Well, yeah, so did Halle Berry, and look what she ended
all right.
up doing.
All right, okay,
so,
exactly.
I mean, you hear that
good
all
point.
The time. It just depends on the role, and we'll see. But she is gorgeous, and she does need to do a nude scene.
Well, I need you to – you have the hotline. I want you to break in any time, day or night, if you get word that that's
what's
happening.
What's going on in your life? You accept that phone call?
Right.
I don't care if I'm at my dad's funeral. I want you to call me, Mr. Skin, and let me know what's up, all right? Go to Mr.
No, I will let you know.
Go to MrSkin.com for all of this and so much more. Always great to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
All right, you guys.
Thank you. I have a request of you, Kevin, if you don't mind, before we get started here with the interview.
What?
Can we have a no-kill Carl policy for the next 15 minutes? Can we let Carl alone for a moment as we're prepared to talk about The Walking Dead here?
I don't think that's possible.
All right. Lori Holden is in studio. She is Andrea, don't you know, on The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Let's give her a big warm Kevin and Bean welcome, shall we? Hi, Lori.
Hi.
You're all cleaned up. I don't recognize you with your hair done.
Oh, you're so funny.
Look, I mean, that's one thing about being an actor on the program The Walking Dead is you just have to get used to just looking like hell all the time, right?
Except she doesn't look like
hell.
She
doesn't.
That's the thing about her. Oh, you're sweet. No, we actually love it.
You do?
Yeah, Norman Reedus and I actually are... we're like little kids. They put the dirt and the blood on us, and then we're the ones that go in when they're not looking. We like put it all over our bodies
put more
and makeup and hair. Like, stop it! We're like, no, we want more dirt.
I'd say that's true, you know, for the first couple of months, but then going on three seasons—that's a lot of time spent.
It's so much fun,
is it?
Mm. Well, at least in Woodbury, you get to take a shower once in a while, so
you've got
that advantage.
Here's how we know the show is fiction, though. I'd like to start with this: is that you are the hottest woman on the planet.
Ooh.
And every single guy on that show is not after you. And
well, that's a good point.
And that's BS.
Yeah. That is a good point.
Seriously.
Well, I have had two.
Yes, but I'm saying any guy that looks at you must go, okay, this is the top of the food chain right here. Let's go.
Aw. Time to repopulate.
Right.
It's kind of like how on The New Girl it took so long for the roommates to start making a play for Zoe. It just didn't make any sense. It's like that's not how – guys just don't ignore hotness in the world.
Okay,
that's
but
the
guys,
point
some
there.
Of them are taken. I mean, let's
– Doesn't matter to guys.
No. Carl's a child.
Yeah, Carl needs to die, first of all. But go ahead.
Okay, okay, no, there it is. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. All right.
You know, Rick was married.
Right.
You know, Herschel's Herschel. You know, Daryl's doing his own thing or is with Carol. You know, I was with Shane, now the governor.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be a complete hobag.
No, but I'm not saying anything about you. I'm saying thing about all the guys on the show, if it was real, would be fighting over you.
Yeah, you'd have a line out the door of guys with flowers waiting to be next.
Now, I do have a question for you, though, because when you sat down, we said we were huge fans, and your immediate reaction to that was, do you hate Andrea?
Mm-hmm. You get that a lot?
You get that a lot?
Well, I think the fans of the show have been very frustrated that she fell for the sociopathic villain. And
do they know it's a TV show?
I don't think they do.
Okay.
I don't think they do because I go to the gas station or Coffee Bean or the airport and people are like, he's a bad guy. You know, I'm like, okay, I am an actress playing a character on television. Thank you.
We hear this occasionally, but not very often anymore. It's like everybody's sort of able to separate their lives, but in this particular case, they do not want Andrea with the governor.
Well, that's rightfully just not so. He's a bad dude.
Of course, but you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Did you go on Twitter and have some kind of a defense? Have you been defending yourself on Twitter?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as defend. Well, you know, maybe I have defended myself. I'm very passionate about the character I play. I love Andrea. You know, and I can justify all of her actions. I think she's a really good person. She fell for the wrong guy, which I think every woman in the world has, right?
And by the way, it's easy to look back now and see that the governor was a poor choice. But at the time, handsome, charming, mm-hmm. sophisticated, sweet.
Created this place for people to live free of fear.
Leader, definitely a leader. I mean, I wanted to date him in the first two episodes.
Well, there you go.
Well, and the weird thing about that is that I haven't read the comic book, so I don't know what to expect from the governor. Mm-hmm. So all I heard was, oh, he's this evil guy. And the way it's played on your show is so low-key and nice
totally,
and
easy-going. Totally.
And you keep going, when is the ugly going to come out? It's going to
come out
at
some point. Well, he's the perfect sociopath because they're always charming and handsome mm-hmm. and sexy and fabulous.
But at the end of this last episode, it seems like you're about to turn on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants you to turn on him.
Oh, Sunday's going to be something else.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break. I want to hear about Sandy. We have many more questions for you. Lori Holden is here. She is Andrea on The Walking Dead, which, by the way, am I wrong about this, Lori? It is maybe the most popular drama in all of television, right? Isn't it that big this season so far?
It is. It is.
Insane,
around the world.
Right?
Around the world, too.
Around the world, too.
And you didn't expect that. Nobody goes on a zombie show saying we're going to be on TV's number one show, right?
Oh, who knew?
It's crazy. It's insane. Well, you guys have earned every viewer because it is phenomenal. The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. More with our guest, Lori Holden, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
When is Carl going to take a bullet?
Okay.
Oh, Kevin,
come on. Come on. Why?
When does Carl eat lead?
Why?
He's a child.
Oh, I know, but what an annoying child.
We are talking. I think it's the cowboy hat. I think that's part of what you hate about Carl.
Yeah. Could be.
We are talking Walking Dead here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock with our special in-studio guest, actress Lori Holden. She is, of course, Andrea on the show, which airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC.
And people, do us a favor. There's a difference between the actress and the character.
You mean don't accost her?
So don't harass her when she's trying to buy lettuce. Leave her alone.
Lori, you've lost some cast members over the years. Mm-hmm. Is there a fear, because anyone can go at any time, is there a fear every week when you get the new script that, oh my God, is it my time?
Pretty much so. And, you know, I hate to break it to you guys, but the only person that is immune to death on the show is mm-hmm. Carl. He is the one that will never die.
Because they won't kill a kid?
They will never kill Carl.
What?
Ever.
Why?
Why has no... I brought this up to every person we've had in, and every single one goes, why would you want to kill Carl? They never say he's safe.
No, he is safe. He is the only one that's safe. You got to ask Robert Kirkman because he's like the young John Connor. You know, he's the next generation of The Walking Dead, and so... Everyone is expendable except the kid.
How about that?
My entire world just got changed.
It sure did.
Sorry about that.
I was surprised that Lori's, and I don't mean to be grim here or not, but I was surprised that Lori's baby survived because I thought that's a weird choice to now have this infant around for the next few seasons. You know what I mean? But that's the thing about the show is you cannot predict what's going to happen or who's going to make it and who's not. That's what's great about it, I guess.
This Sunday, the baby wears the cowboy hat.
Lori, you've been on a lot of shows over the years, including a long run on The X-Files, but tell me how you got the job on The Walking Dead and what, take me back to that place when you were first trying out for it.
I actually didn't try out for it. I've worked with Frank Darabon on two other collaborations, The Majestic and The Mist, and he's a dear friend. And he had been working on The Walking Dead for a long time, trying to bring it to series. It got greenlit by AMC, and he called me up and he said, good news. You know, my passion project is about to happen. You're perfect for the role of Andrea.
So you were in from the beginning.
So I was in from the beginning.
That's awesome.
I'd say you're safe too then. Relatively.
Nobody's safe on The Walking Dead.
Except for Carl. What a shocker. Oh.
Kevin's ruined for the rest of the day.
We can't go on.
Tell me about, we had Norm Reedus in the other day, plays Daryl on the show. He was telling us about this little town that you guys have kind of taken over and turned into Woodbury. Tell me what it's like being in that place. You guys are just their neighbors now, right? Everybody kind of knows you in that little town?
Yeah, I mean, it's the sweetest town, Sonoya. It's actually become very touristy, as, you know, obviously would. But it's just like really sweet country living. I have a cottage and... You know everybody in the community. It is exactly like Woodbury. I mean, they haven't really changed anything.
Really? Wow.
So going to work has been great because I literally walk 50 feet to work.
That's pretty
cool. Because I live there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool,
you said
actually.
You love Atlanta. I think we were talking about this off the air.
Yeah.
You love Atlanta?
I love Atlanta. I do.
Why? You'd never been there before shooting.
No, I mean, I love it because I just love Southern living. I love the people. I love...
The people are great.
The food is fantastic.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
The weather can be rough.
But you know what? I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we are so used to working in 110-degree heat with the humidity that if it's like a 75-degree day, we're like, what? I can't work in these conditions.
Is it winter? Somebody give me a coat.
So yeah, I'm a big South fan of the South, and you know, they've embraced us. It's been really wonderful.
Are you listening to country music yet?
No, not so
good
much.
Good choice. So you haven't completely embraced the South yet.
No, but I like folky music. I like, you know, I like Mumford and Sons.
Sure,
and...
sure. Tell me how what it was like for you to get to start using a gun and how comfortable you are with it now.
Well, I've done a bunch of other projects where I've had to use firearms, whether I played FBI agents or superheroes. So I was very familiar with the firearm. What I had to do when I began The Walking Dead was to unlearn everything.
Right, because you didn't know anything. Your character didn't know anything.
My character didn't know anything. Right. So I literally had to pick up the gun like it was a dead mouse.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know.
Dead mouse is on your show now?
No, that's a different
dead
thing.
Dead mouse.
Oh, I'm thinking of the DJs.
And then I basically stayed away from guns until Andrea started learning them.
Right.
And then I worked with the Navy SEAL in the backwoods, and I trained like every Saturday. We'd go out and do obstacle courses, and I mean, it's just such a huge part of my character, and now such a huge part of me. I mean, I kind of love guns.
Wow,
adopted the South.
Are you carrying heat right now?
No.
Do you have a Confederate flag on your truck?
funny.
You mentioned something about this weekend, and we saw at the end of the last week's episode that Andrea is kind of stepping up. She's wising up to what's going on with the governor. She's kind of, in some ways, taking control of the town. I mean, she's the one who kept the peace last week.
I guess we should say spoiler alert, but go
the
ahead.
Episode is called I Ain't a Judas. That's the name of the episode. What can you tell us about Sunday night, Laurie?
Well, I think the title says it all, really.
Because you used to be a member of the other group?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people ask me, is Andrea team Rick or team the governor? Andrea's team the people. You know, she cares about Woodbury. She cares about her friends.
She's a good person.
She's a good person. Yeah. And, you know, it's not about taking sides. It's about, you know, making the peace.
Right.
And, you know, basically, this is an enormous episode coming up this Sunday. But basically, she's going to get to the bottom of it, and she's going to take some action.
She's a good person, but you don't want to cross her, my feeling.
That's not a bad thing.
And at the end of the last episode, it does seem like it's all coming clear to you now about the governor. And
she's had an ass full of the governor, I think.
yeah.
And it's all about to go down.
Yep. That's what they should have called it. An Assful of the Governor should have been the name of this episode. All right. Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. People who don't watch The Walking Dead are probably sick and tired of us talking about it on the show, Lori, because we really do. We do talk about it like every single day. But it is the best, and you are fantastic on the show, and I'm so happy you had a chance to come by and see us. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks for
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Wow. What's going on, Ralph?
Ralph's ending that song.
That last note.
Properly.
Kevin and Bean listener Tom writes in, hey, couldn't Kevin just kill Beer Mug in lieu of wishing poor Carl's death? Wouldn't that satisfy his bloodlust and make us all happy? That's a great idea, Tom.
It would make more people happy, probably, yeah.
Is that a fair trade-off for you, Kevin? Would you be satisfied with Beer Mug for Carl?
Yeah, that's fine.
It seems like your hatred is misplaced.
It is weird. Because he really is not a bad kid at all.
And we've got a real problem here, and you're worried about a fictional TV problem.
Here's the thing. When I started out hating Carl, I had a lot of support.
Yes.
And then as the series goes on, I find myself on an island by myself. No one cares.
Because he's turned into a pretty bright little kid who makes a lot of good choices and helps out the group. He doesn't really annoy anyone. People like him.
Think Carl gets to work on time?
Bullet to the head.
What? Think Carl gets to work on time?
I'm guessing yes.
I'm betting he probably does.
Yeah. You know who doesn't?
Yeah, Beer Mug. 8:57. It is Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Tomorrow night, Saturday night at 8 p.m., John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk. Kevin Smith and I will be returning to do our Hollywood Babylon show. We're just down in Long Beach. We played at the Laugh Factory down there and sold the joint out. We couldn't be happier with everyone down there being so kind to us. So we're coming home to the Lovitz Saturday night at 8. We'd love to have you come out. You can go to csmod, csmod.com. For more details and tickets, or you can go to the John Lovitz Comedy Club website and get your tickets there. But it's just another manic Monday. Really? 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 You're reaching back to the Bangles?
Because it's a song that has a day that's not Saturday.
For the name of a day? Oh, good. The Moody Blues. Now we're going to classical music from the 1880s.
Wait, Ralph, you're doing your podcast on Tuesday afternoon?
No, I'm doing it on Saturday night at 8 p.m.
I'm sorry, I was just confused by the date. That's all. My error.
When are we going to do Bean Spring Cleaning? Where we get rid of some of these audio drops that are just...
We need to do that. He's got too much.
It's incomprehensible that he still has some of these things. Here's your last chance this weekend, folks. If you, like everyone else in America, is fired up about naming one of Pluto's new discovered moons...
Shut up.
They found out that Pluto's got two new moons. Here's the thing. Pluto's been there for effing ever. No one even cared enough to look hard enough at Pluto to see how many moons it had.
A, they're very small.
B, they care so little about Pluto that they ended up just taking its name away. It's not even a planet anymore.
Not a planet. It's a rock. And now the rock has smaller rocks around it. And they are just letting random people name the moons of Pluto. The reason it's a thing is because Star Trek fans apparently are furiously trying to raise support to name one of those new moons, Vulcan, after Spock's home planet, the planet Vulcan, of course. And
Star Trek fans still care that much about Star Trek?
You know what, Star Trek fans? If you name one of those planets Vulcan, it doesn't mean that green-blooded, pointy-eared people will start growing there, and you won't be able to meet your friend Mr. Spock in real life. It's not going to happen. It's still going to be just a desolate piece of rock in
Anybody
space.
That votes for something like that is an asshole.
Wow.
right?
Don't you agree, Ralph? I never saw it that way, but now that you put it in those terms...
How little has to be going on in your life that you want to vote for a rock that's near Pluto?
Come on, you guys. I'm trying to help out.
Shatner and Nimoy, by the way, are full bore on Twitter trying to get people on board. I think Monday is the last day you can vote.
That's correct.
Shut up, Bean.
At PlutoRocks.com. Or you can check out my website, PlutoSucks.com, which is where you go if you have a life.
Some of the other names, Ralph, in case you're interested on what you can vote for, include Elysium.
Not interested.
Orpheus.
Not
Styx.
Interested. Not interested.
Stop it.
Styx?
That's one of the ones that's on the list, yeah. Because they're all out of, you know, mythology, Greek and Roman mythology, and there's a tie-in with Pluto and the river Styx in mythology, so that's why they suggested it, I think.
Or they're just rocking the paradise. Or they're just, buying into the grand illusion. That's what they're doing.
Also, that could be true as well.
Shia LaBeouf, I mentioned earlier this week, quit the Broadway show Orphans that he was going to be making his Broadway debut in. Alongside Alec Baldwin, producers said it was performance questions. Shia says it was artistic differences, but now we're finding out it was actually a disagreeable situation between Shia LaBeouf and Alec Baldwin.
How many different euphemisms can they come up with on here?
A lot of euphemisms. Apparently Shia and Alec locked horns and did not get along. And
are they less than friendly?
They're less than friendly. Now Shia has not only quit, but now he's starting to tweet copies of emails that have been going back and forth between him and the producer and his co-star,
sweet,
and Alec Baldwin.
It's on.
And, yeah, it's been petty and childish and tragic and sad.
Love it.
Look, if you quit the show, I think we can all imply things that went on there. You don't need to start tweeting copies of emails between you and the producers and things.
That's Bush League.
This is childish. The good news is, for people who planned on going to see that show, Alec Baldwin will still be in it, and Ben Foster, very talented young actor, has taken over the role that Shia was going to play. So, still make your plans in the Big Apple. If you're going to see some Broadway, you can still see that show.
Look, I like Shia, and we've had him on the show, and he's a great guest, but doesn't it seem like he gets rubbed the wrong way by a lot of people in both movies and now stage?
He has an artistic temperament.
He's
prickly.
Say that.
I was putting everything in air quotes. Yeah.
I would say he is a passionate artist. I'll put that in air quotes.
That's not to say he's wrong. He might have had every legitimate reason to walk away
from
the show.
He has unique tastes.
He has a sensitive nature.
Why can't anyone just say what's actually happening?
I'm just saying. While we're talking about Shia, his former co-star from the Transformers movies, Megan Fox, in the news. It has been announced that she will play the role of April O'Neil in the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. Some people are very upset about that. Some hardcore Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans are very upset that she's playing April O'Neil.
Bean, did you vote on that?
I like to stay current.
Did you write an angry
about
letter?
April O'Neil? I don't think Raphael and Donatello would enjoy her as April.
Did you have any contact on this story whatsoever?
I don't know anything about
the
Teenage
Mutant Ninja
Turtles.
You didn't
write a letter?
You didn't send an email?
Besides the fact that some fans say she's inappropriate for the role, the big surprise is that she's working with Michael Bay again, who's directing, because famously she said after her last Transformers film that Michael was like Hitler on the set and called him a nightmare to work for.
No air quotes there.
No air quotes at all. No air quotes needed. Appears Michael doesn't carry a grudge since he announced that she'll be in the film.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, I think personalities tend to come second to potential box office sometimes.
Yes, I agree.
People make allowances for situations they wouldn't ordinarily. It was very funny. A very funny writer named Brian Lynch tweeted to the people who are very upset about this. You know what? Megan Fox will be just fine. I think she's capable of saying, "Look out, Raphael!" as capable as anyone else. So everyone can relax. All you mutant teenage ninja turtle fans out there.
Bean.
Justin Timberlake is joining a rare club. He will be one of the few people who have ever guested Saturday Night Live 5 times. Has been announced he will be host and musical guest for the March 9th edition of Saturday Night Live. Then he's going to spend the following week, the entire week, as a guest on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. He's going to be his co-host the entire week.
Okay.
This all leads up to, of course, the release of his highly anticipated new album, The 2020 Experience. They are really selling this thing hard to get him.
I have been there. Underwhelmed by the songs we've heard so far from this new
but
album.
But Justin's back! He's back in music where he belongs!
Yeah, I think he's talented.
He's back!
These songs have not...
Pluto's got a moon!
That I'm excited
Megan
about.
Fox is April O'Neil!
And you said he's coming to the Rose Bowl with Jay-Z?
Yeah, they're doing a stadium tour. They're playing like Yankee Stadium in Fenway Park, and they're going to play the Rose Bowl at the end of July.
My pal Jay-Z's coming to town.
That's right, Pat.
Yeah. Pat O'Brien, we don't have time for
I'll be
right
there
now.
In the front row there in the Rose Bowl, probably backstage.
I'm sorry, we don't have time for that.
I'll be hanging out. If you have any questions for Jay-Z, pass them along to me.
Pat, we don't have time for this.
You've never met Jay-Z, have you, Pat?
Jay-Z's a good friend of mine.
Nope.
I like to play golf. I beat him last time, by the way.
Yeah, we don't have time for this.
Sorry, Pat. Today's celebrity birthdays... Kyle MacLachlan, so good on Twin Peaks. Boy, every couple of years I go back and watch the first season of that show again.
That was honked up.
It's still brilliant. It still holds up. It's just a great damn show. 54 years old today. Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock is 47. Jeri Ryan celebrates her 45th birthday. Thomas Jane from Hung turns 44. James Blunt
39 years old. Drew Barrymore celebrates her 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're about 5 minutes away or so from KROQ World Tour 2013, destination number 6, Chili Peppers in Mexico City. So stand by. We'll give you a chance to qualify. Be on that standby boarding list for a grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band overseas, plus win their latest album, I'm With You. That's coming up here on KROQ.
I'm going to tell you the beginning of a story, and then you have to tell me how it ends.
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. Does the story end?
You don't hear soft rock Omar very often.
You know, I'm not sure I'm a fan of it, but I like that. All right, here's what's happening. There's a fire station, and everybody's asleep, middle of the
night. So you're going to tell us how the story begins.
Yes.
We're supposed to tell you how it ends.
How does the story end?
All right, now I got it. Now I'm ready.
All right, so they're asleep, and they hear a giant noise downstairs.
I heard some loud banging outside.
The whole firehouse got a rude awakening around 4 Saturday morning.
All right, 4 Saturday morning. Okay. Loud noise outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Initially, I thought it was the dumpster man coming empty the dumpster, and I quickly realized it's not the night that he runs.
All right, so the guys, whoever it is making enough noise that this guy thinks it might be the trash dumpster truck.
Okay. All right.
But that's not the right day.
Someone was throwing something in the dumpster, and it continually got louder and louder and louder.
So it got louder from there!
Oh, boy.
Wow.
They then thought someone was in crisis and needed their help.
Okay, so now they're panicking, and they're like, wow, somebody must need some medical attention. We need
That makes sense. You're at a fire station. Everybody knows that there's, you know, medical personnel. Maybe somebody's hurt and they come to the fire station. I can see that.
How does the story end?
Any guesses yet?
So it sounds like a trash truck, kind of, but it's getting louder.
Yes. Well, the first thing I thought when you started the story, Kevin, was an accident. Was that somebody ran their car into the side of the firehouse.
But that wouldn't get louder.
But that wouldn't get louder. Yeah, so that's out, too.
Sergeant Douglas Heppner's bed is upstairs right beside this fire pole.
As I pop the pole.
By the way, they call it popping the pole.
Lisa, you know that one, right?
Just as a side note, that's a thing, popping a pole. Wow. So the guy slides down the pole, and then he sees what's happening.
How does the story end?
Now he's downstairs.
Fire station.
Okay. In the fire station.
Uh-huh. And he's seeing what's happening.
Remember, the noise originally was outside.
Station.
So now he sees what's happening.
So
that's when the glass shattered.
That's when the glass shattered.
Asteroid!
Saw someone jump to the glass window, and then I just saw him take off running.
Down this long hallway, they found him in the locker room.
So it was a guy.
He broke into the fire station? He smashed through a window?
Who then dove headfirst through a window.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of a lower window.
Did he crash his car into it?
Oh, no. The guy just dove through, like elbows first or something.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, let's remember.
Yeah, so he was making that much racket outside. Then the guy comes down, pop the pole, and not in air quotes, and sees a guy dive through the window and take off running, and he runs into the locker room.
Does the story end?
Bath salts?
Is he naked? Is the guy naked?
No.
Okay.
That's bath salts?
Is he being chased by something?
Good question. Ooh. No.
Oh.
is he on fire?
Would seem like a good place to go.
Yeah, that's what I think. You go to the fire station, you start running looking for help or something.
No.
He's not on fire.
So how does the story end?
Not drunk.
I don't know if he doesn't say about drunk or drugs, but okay. Go ahead.
I hope the man recovers to kill Soft Rock Omar. That's what I hope.
Is it the fear?
Oh, really?
Great answer.
The fear that he was driving down the street. He said, "Where's there a bathroom? Oh my God, a fire station."
Firefighter Michael Davenport made the odd discovery. A police report says 27-year-old Nicholas Gonzalez.
You're just teasing us now.
How does this story end?
So the guy runs into the locker room and sees a 27-year-old dude.
Doing.
Uh-huh. Was in the midst of a sex act when he was found.
He was masturbating.
By himself.
No.
He was masturbating.
By himself. On the fire station equipment.
Why do you need to break into a fire
on the hoses, so to speak.
Oh, he was looking for inspiration.
Yeah.
He never even acknowledged that I was there. continuing with a lewd act. And that's when I grabbed him by his shirt and drug him out.
So the guy,
he means a lube act.
So the guy's masturbating, and then the other guy that discovered him said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the guy just wouldn't even pay attention to him. So he just grabs him and drags him out of the station.
Police were there in a matter of seconds and hauled him off to jail.
We just kind of an adrenaline to get down and see what in the world is going on. Then after the fact, it was kind of, you know, it could have gone a different way.
It could have gone a different way. I agree.
That guy really wanted to masturbate in that location, didn't he?
To break into a fire station by diving through a window, not trying to sneak. He wasn't trying to sneak around, but he needed to masturbate right now.
The firemen were not the only ones popping a pull.
That's correct. Yes.
That's how the story ends.
Just want to make sure that one had a little breathing room. It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
You want to drink it right out of the grape bucket.
Right, exactly.
That's right, man. That's what Bean always said.
We don't shortchange our listeners. Right. We make sure they get every last second of every song here on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
It's important.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat here on the end of a... I like these four-day weeks we're doing lately, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
These are good.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling well for Monday. You guys?
Had that Martin Luther King four-day week and then the President's Day four-day week. I think this is a very cool new trend.
Yeah, you guys are on your own next week for a couple days.
Yeah, because you're...
I'll be on for a couple days. I'm going to shoot a Western. My first Western.
Us too.
Nice.
Waited my whole life to be in a Western.
Did you get to ride a horse?
What are you laughing about?
You really did?
Oh, my... as a kid,
That was the thing?
Oh, cowboys.
No kidding.
Hat and the six shooters, and I just...
Do you wear a cowboy hat?
Hell to the yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you ride a horse?
Hell to the yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Will you? Do you shoot a gun?
Yes.
Will you?
Full-blown cowboy time.
Will you please send us a picture of you as a cowboy so we can tweet it out?
I'm playing a marshal. I get a badge and six guns. I'm going to ride a steed.
Seriously.
Flying through the back 40 and the front 40 and the side 40.
Seriously, you on a horse with your hat and your gun. I want a photo on Monday, if you would.
You got it.
If you'd be so kind.
That does sound pretty cool, Rob, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So I'll be gone just for a couple days.
I'll be gone, too, with him doing that.
No, you won't.
I'm in that movie as well. I'm playing a
cowboy.
I've wanted to be a cowboy since I was a kid.
There are wanted posters around the set of you guys saying, wanted dead or alive. Preferably dead. Don't let them on the set.
How dare you.
While we're talking about TV shows, Mira Sorvino got a new CBS comedy pilot greenlit. She will play the wife of funny man Jim Gaffigan. It's an interesting TV duo.
Yeah.
They will play a guy and his wife and their five kids who all live in a two-room apartment in New York City. That doesn't sound like a comedy. It sounds like a tragedy. Mira's last TV gig was a pilot for a TV show called Trooper last year. It didn't go. Of course, she's been in movies like Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion and Mighty Aphrodite. She won the Oscar for that. Looking forward to seeing her on television. She's a talented lady.
Yeah, I like her.
More TV news. FX Network has renewed its spy drama, The Americans, for a second season of 13 episodes.
I love that.
If you guys
is it good, Kevin? I haven't watched it yet.
Yes, it is.
It's real good. It's really well done. Very tense. And Kerry Russell and Matthew Rice play the pair of Russian KGB spies who are assigned to live as a married American couple in Washington, D.C. while spying on the U.S. of A.
I have a question about that, and I assume this isn't a spoiler alert, but if you're playing husband and wife and you're young, attractive people living together, do you just go ahead and do it?
That's in the show.
That's part of the show, yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's about the fact that they are just following orders, yet they're also human beings and they can't help but start to develop feelings for one another since they have to play the role of husband and wife.
Right.
She strikes you as such a tough-as-nails dude.
Yes.
And he strikes you as a woman. Am I right?
He is the one who's the more emotional of the pair, that's for sure. But I love you.
He's just such a little...
We're spies. I know.
She's going to break his neck at any moment.
Yeah, she's got an ass full of him.
Yeah.
Ah, fandom. Fandom very upset. The world of the geekdom very shocked this morning with the announcement that Michael Bay has cast Megan Fox as April O'Neil in his upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle film.
What's it called?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's it.
Yeah. The shocker is
that she was the one who said, after her last Transformers film with Michael Bay, that he was like Hitler on the set and called him a nightmare to work for.
But she didn't mean that in a derogatory way.
In the best way of Hitler.
It's amazing what some zeros on a paycheck can make you forget.
Well, on both sides.
Look, Hitler had his plus side, she said today.
Let's not paint him with a broad brush.
It's not all bad.
No, he was an excellent painter.
Vegetarian, don't forget
that's
that.
That's right.
Trains run on time.
Loved his dogs. Had a beloved German shepherd he was very close with, named Blondie. By all counts, good to Ava in the bunker.
But he
everybody's got their upside, right?
He knows that she's hot enough that she'll get people in the theater just by being in
it. It's casting that immediately gets attention to a project that has already been plagued by rumors and disgruntled grumbles from the geekdom world. So we'll see. I think that movie's going to have a lot more problems than who plays April in the Olympic.
Yeah. Well.
More geek news. Star Trek fans are petitioning to get one of Pluto's newly discovered moons named after Spock's home planet of Vulcan. Yeah, they just discovered two new moons of Pluto. Right now they're calling them P4 and P5. I think those names are too good for Pluto's moons, frankly.
How dare you?
They should call them that one and the other one. That's what they should call them.
Because Pluto's not even a planet now.
No,
so who cares?
It's downgraded to space rock.
So who cares what smaller space rocks are around the bigger space rock? Who gives a crap?
No one, except the Trekkers. Shatner and Nimoy apparently have been on Twitter also urging the move to name one of those moons Vulcan. You can vote for it if you want. You can go to PlutoRocks.com.
And you should.
But you'd be a dickhead if you did that.
Here's what you should do. You should log on to PlutoRocks.com and then just hang yourself.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
leave that open in your browser so people know why you did it.
If that's what you're doing, if that's where your life has gone to, down to that last desperate act.
That's your suicide note.
You're done. Yeah. You got nothing left.
Agreed.
If you're looking around your life and saying, what else can I do? Can I go work at a soup kitchen? Can I donate time to a charity? Can I help my fellow men? No, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to vote for Pluto's moon. Then you, sir, are finished. You're done. Your usefulness on this planet has expired.
You are no longer needed.
I hate to refute your suggestion, but...
Says the only guy on the show who has actually voted.
If you love Pluto like I do, you
no
can't kill yourself.
No one loves Pluto like you do. No one.
You can't kill yourself now because the New Horizons spacecraft, which is going by Pluto, it's on its way to Pluto right now, gets there in only 2 years and 4 months. So you want to stay alive in order to see the best ever photos of Pluto before you kill yourself.
You mean the rock that they decided was no longer a planet?
It's still Pluto, dude. Still Pluto.
Is it a planet?
How can even Bean not recognize the inanity in the statement, well, if you love Pluto like I do.
There are lots of people who love Pluto. Pluto's a very popular planet.
No, it's not. That's not even a category.
Not a planet anymore, first of
all. Well, it's a, what do they call it now, a lesser planet or something like that.
It's a rock.
It's some sort of planet now. It's just not one of the big eight anymore.
I think the technical term coming out of JPL is space crap.
How dare you?
That's what they're calling it now. Hunk of space crap.
I think Pluto's better than Earth. That's just my opinion.
Well, you should go live there.
I would like
make
to.
Make us all happy.
Linda Lohan's in the news. Lindsay needed a dress for a charity gala, and as they sometimes do, a high-end fashion house, this one called Thea, lent her a floor-length beaded gown to wear when she attended this charity gala in New York City on February the 6th. Apparently, by all accounts, she looked very chic in the dress. It was a beautiful dress. After she was done appearing at that charity event, she decided it was time to get her party on to the nightclubs, to the nightclub mobile. And she hopped in and went off and, well, you don't wear a floor-length expensive beaded gown to a trashy nightclub.
I don't. Certainly not.
It got ripped. And so Lindsay did the most logical thing she could. She
changed into something that's more appropriate?
She left the nightclub and immediately attended to the tear and had it repaired at her own expense.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Let me read the rest of the story here.
What?
She borrowed a pair of scissors from the bouncer at the nightclub and then cut off the entire bottom half of the borrowed gown. Us Weekly describes the result as looking like a shredded mullet dress. By the way, I've heard out of Paris the shredded mullet dress is going to be all the craze.
It's all the craze?
Year. Yeah, so... needless to say, when Lindsay returned half a dress to the company...
Can you imagine?
They were less than thrilled when they opened the box and found it cut in half and soiled with cocaine, Jägermeister, and various fluids that only showed up under a black light.
Allegedly.
Alleged.
That's alleged.
That is alleged. And say a little prayer today this weekend if you get a chance for Lady Gaga.
Why? What's wrong?
She underwent the knife on Wednesday. She had that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
She had that surgery to repair that tear in her right hip. And she is on the mend. So we're all hoping that Gaga heals up so that she can be back on stage vomiting.
We do miss the vomit.
At a later point in the tour, which was my favorite performance of hers ever.
Remember, she just kept right on singing.
She sure did.
What a stud.
You got to give her credit. She turned her back to the audience, unleashed her dinner, and then went
Ralph,
right back.
As we like to call
How
it.
How dare you, sir?
And then just kept singing the song. That was something. I don't even like her, and I'm giving her props for that.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you.
Reveals in a new interview with a magazine called Du Jour. I'm assuming that is a soup aficionado magazine. Never mind. Kevin doesn't get that.
Sorry.
That she's changed quite a bit since beginning her relationship with Kanye West. She's announced that she doesn't give out autographs any longer.
What?
Because, and I quote, my boyfriend won't let me.
My boyfriend won't let me.
Kanye Bitches Penn, be crazy.
Kanye has told her she no longer is allowed to give out autographs.
Well, I like controlling men like that.
That's good.
That's
yeah.
a good sign. That should be
yeah. a good sign.
You know, he'll be cutting her dresses in half. Let's take a look at today's.
You remember, he threw out all her clothes.
Yeah,
remember
yeah. that. He went through her wardrobe and,
and got her all new stuff.
Replaced it with bootylicious things.
There'll be problems there.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle MacLachlan. You know him from Twin Peaks, from Blue Velvet, from Sex and the City. Really talented actor, 54 years old today. Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock is 47. Jerry Ryan is 45 years old today.
I bet she voted on Pluto's moon.
I bet she didn't. I bet she's got a full, full life. Other things to do. Thomas Jane from Hung is 44. Singer James Blunt is 39 years old. He was sang that you're beautiful, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that sappy love song.
That
right?
That suicidal subway song.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tragic.
This is the first year that we haven't had the discussion where we've had to hold Kevin down because he's so outraged that James Blunt used to be in British Special Forces, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, that's not possible.
Every year that ticks Kevin off that he has that background,
that's
but
not
it's
possible.
True.
And that falsetto. He had both of those things going.
Right.
James Blunt's 39 and Drew Barrymore, legendary TV and film actress. She is 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show, highlights of the Oscars. We have Hardy Levin from TMZ.com as usual. And we have Chris Hardwick with the Talking the Walking Dead.
I won't be here, by the way. I'm filming a Western.
No, that's me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hollywood's biggest night.
Pass it over to me.
Do you have there. Anything you want to talk about, or?
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
You did it, Kevin.
Shut up.
Roll another one.
It's time for Daddy to make some funny.
Just like the other one.
We've landed on the moon.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That is adorable.
And I need another hit.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then, sadly, we don't end up with what we really wanted.
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Roll.
Roll.
Roll. Roll. Roll. Roll another one.
I need a woman.
Just like the other one.
F*** that. That's what I gotta say.
This one seems to be about.
At the end of it all, I'm kind of a douchebag.
I don't have another cent.
You know, I'm not gay, but you make my butt hungry.
But I won't guard that joint.
Liquor up front, poker in back.
Just pass it around.
It's hip, it's happening, it's...
But I won't guard that joint, my friend.
What is it?
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Just pass it on
down. Hi, Dad.
You know, Sam, there's only one way to end a perfect day.
What's that?
Flash jump.
Right. One, two, three. Yeah!
And stop! Great job, and very informative. We need to stop now, forever, and pretend like this never happened.
Thank you for listening. May God bless all of you. May God bless our president.
And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
And now, this is the old philosopher saying, so long, folks.